welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yo, what's snapping in? 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Well, let's see what we got going on. Joe Scarborough is going to be on the show from Scarborough Country.
Oh, good. It's about time.
I like him. And
I thought you did.
Just having a conversation with somebody yesterday about how much we like him. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos. Phil Leotardo going to be checking in with us. Ozzy and Ray do a little Spider-Man review. Joel McHale is going to review TSV. Oh, in your dreams, babe.
I hope it gets a thumb up.
The super dreamy Joel McHale from the Soup on E is going to be in, and so on. Oh, Prisoner David's going to be on the show as well. All right, where to begin? Let's see, Danny.
Yes, sir.
How was Philadelphia? Danny was in Philadelphia while we were in San Diego. Danny was. It's one of these things in radio where one of the rules of radio is you have to repeat the same thing about every 9 minutes or people will fall off.
Yeah.
If you have Robin Williams in the studio, every 45 seconds you have to say, and we're sitting here with Robin Williams. Robin Williams, what's a day for Robin Williams like? You know, have to keep working. When Robin Williams gets up in the morning, what is Robin Williams? You have to keep working the name and you have to keep saying, if Bonaducci's not sitting next to us. Now, I mentioned it.
People think I'm in prison.
Three times, yeah. But you have to say it 333 times because people listen for 6.5 minutes at a time. So Danny was, so Robin Williams was in Philadelphia attending a funeral.
Yes.
How was that?
It was actually brief, really brief.
Nice.
She was cremated and interred, which I've never seen before.
Oh, they bury the ashes?
Yeah.
Huh.
She has the Steck family plot.
But they don't bury. When they inter you, they don't bury you, do they?
Inter means bury, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, I thought it...
One's intern and one's
you
inter, mean,
you
I
might
believe.
Be thinking entomb.
Oh, I was thinking entomb.
Close.
No, they buried it like it was a casket, except for, like, mini-me and only his head.
And she wanted to be cremated.
I don't know what she wanted. I didn't ask her.
The other thing, too, is they... Do they cremate you in a cardboard box, or will they cremate you in a nice casket if you want?
In a nice casket if you want, but I think they can also just slide you right in on this. It's like a gurney, and it just slides into the oven.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a pizza oven.
Good times.
It opens up a very interesting subject for my family, because I am not devastated in the fact that my aunt is dead. Like, when they told me my dad died in the middle of a radio show, I didn't even take a break. I just kept doing my radio show because I didn't care. My aunt, I haven't seen
it. Was that on Mortality Monday?
Yes. And we played all dead dad songs. And I didn't care. And I wondered if I would care, you know, if I, you know, I never liked him and he never liked me. But I wondered, once he died, would I think, God, I should have done something for
him?
And the answer was no. I didn't care. I still don't care.
Yeah, there's way too much made of that. People that, you know, had horrible whatever relationships with family members. And then they die and then you feel guilty and what have you. I don't know. I'd say if you had a good 30, 40 years of hating the bastard, I'd say it'll cover the next 40, 25, 30 years of your life.
But my aunt, on the other hand, who I haven't seen in 10 years, which is why I'm not like devastated. Oh, my God, my aunt just died. She is, in fact, the aunt that took me in when I was 30, married, stoned, and had a 200-pound Great Dane into her quiet little church organist life. And, I turned her life upside down. So I went because I love her and she was dear to me and took great care of me. But so I wasn't devastated. So we just went over to the box and the priest who whispered, and you couldn't hear a friggin' word he was saying. And then at the church, all the old people behind me, because when dead people die because they're really old, the people that aren't dead are really old.
Yeah.
So they speak at normal level.
Yes.
And I got a whole row of ladies behind me going, I can't hear a word he's saying. Can you hear what he's saying? Is he saying something about Aunt Jackie? Is he talking? What's he saying? So that was kind of weird.
When you get old, it's like you're wearing headphones on and you have the stereo cranked up and you're talking to your stepmom who's standing in the doorway of your bedroom, and you're going, I did my homework.
Right.
I'm just relaxing. I'm going to clean up. That's what you, yes, you are that loud. And it's weird. The older you get, the more quiet places you go. Because if old guys went to Nine Inch Nails concerts, it'd be no problemo. But they're in hospitals and churches. And then they sit around and they yell at each other in the hospital or in the church. And it's, these are places, it's weird. The older, the louder you get, the quieter the places you go to.
And interesting enough, the oldest people at a Nine Inch Nails concert are Nine Inch Nails by
that's
10 years.
Good point.
Yeah.
They're actually the 10 inch nails at this point.
They've grown, moved on. They're long in the nail. So, but this brings up an interesting point, I think. I hadn't thought about it till right now. She had a full stroke where the doctor said if she comes out of this, she might be able to move her eyes.
Uh-huh.
So my mom made the call, and very quickly, I thought, because they were very close, to take her off the respirator.
Right.
And see if she would live, and she did not.
Right.
The interesting point of that is, aside from that must have been very weird for my mother, is I'm my family's designated executioner.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because they know I'll do it.
Right.
They, all, they all believe that I'll actually do it.
It's on the scene.
We have rules for if, you know, I'm incapacitated and I can't do this. Everybody's told me their level because they don't want me coming over all wasted and going, you have the flu and shooting them or something.
Right.
So they have designated rules of how incapacitated they have to be. But I'm in everyone's will as the guy who pulls the plug.
Wow. My grandmother.
They just believe me.
My grandmother's told me for years that she has a stash of suicide pills and she's ready to squeeze the trigger if things get hairy, which is sort of fine, but not when you're 17. You know what I mean? Thanks, Granny.
I don't need to know that.
No.
I had a suicide pack for a long time.
Which was?
Which was just thousands of dollars of pills from Mexico, ranging from Valium to, I mean, enough to kill a horse. The problem was, I was a drug addict.
Yeah.
So you kept eating your stash.
It's like Halloween candy to me. I'm going to save this Halloween candy till the day I die.
Yeah.
And then you have one Snickers, and then you have three Snickers. Next thing I know, my suicide kit comes down to a Tylenol. And I got to go back to Mexico.
Well, you had to go to a funeral in Philadelphia. We had our own horse show on the way.
I heard some of it sounded great.
Oh,
did?
I got to say, a couple things. First off, it was freezing cold. The wind was blowing the whole time. But I realized how much I liked the studio versus being on the road. Although it was good to see the folks come out. Don't get me wrong.
That was nice.
On the way there, in our 3-hour and 15-minute limo ride on the way there, my buddy Ray filled up 3 beer bottles with urine while we were rolling, which I'm okay with. I'd rather him do that than pull over. But please drink Mickey's because they have the wide mouth.
I didn't go with you guys in the limousine because before I knew my aunt was dead, of course.
Right.
Because I chain smoke. And I figured I'm just not going to ride in a car for 3 hours with people either who bother to buy the smoke or say, could you constantly pull this car over so I can smoke? I didn't know there was going to get bee guys peeing.
Yeah,
I'd have felt rather.
I drove on my own just because I get car sick in the big buses, so I missed the Ray peeing.
And you're antisocial. Three beer bottles Ray fills up on the way down, and then on the way back, Ozzy fills up 2 garbage bags filled with vomit.
He got sick.
Yes.
This is why I go on my own, Adam.
Yes, he did. And the thing about it is like, people are like, oh, where was he sitting? I was like, next to me. And they're like, how far away? And they're like, we were touching while he was vomiting.
I mean, you not vomit when somebody else is vomiting?
I'm a sympathetic vomiter. I'm one of those.
Well, first off, there was this crazy, this funny thing. I don't know who I think I spoke to. Let's see. Maybe I went to Jimmy's house Saturday to watch the fight. Maybe I talked to my agent, who is friends with Mike August, who said, boy, Adam's really squeamish around the vomiting. Well, what happened was Ozzy was vomiting into a trash bag. We were watching Jackass 2.
I'm sorry, I missed all of this.
Was Jackass
Sounds
2.
Up my alley.
The limo had its own... had its own video system, and Jackass 2 just came on. Yep. It just came on.
By the way, it's illegal to watch porn, you guys.
We did not watch porn, although if I see a lot of sack, a lot of shaved sack and other things. The point is Steve-O is vomiting while Ozzy is sitting next to me vomiting. At a certain point,
oh my God.
I have to hold my hand up to shield myself from Steve-O vomiting in his fart helmet while Ozzy's vomiting actually pushing up against my left side and filling a trash bag. And I'm like, oh, for the love of Christ. Mike August interprets this as having very delicate sensibilities, right, by the way. Right. It's like, well, I didn't know Carole had a problem. Yeah, I'm watching a guy vomit while in sense around because I'm actually pushed up against a 200-pound Guatemalan guy who's vomiting
like
into a thing.
It's like a slasher movie sitting next to someone being killed.
Yes, being stabbed to death and physically pushing against them like when you're in a limousine. He did this not once, but two times. And the vomit had to be kept, by the way, in the ice cooler.
Oh, come on.
Well, where are you going to put it? That was the best place for it until later on when we pulled over and, like, San Ysidro decided to take a whiz. Ray tastefully discarded it on the side of the road.
Oh, God, I'm sorry I missed that.
I remember wondering at the live event at the Wave House, is Ozzy as drunk as he seems?
Ozzy, well, few things. We rolled in at, like, 2:30. Ozzy had, you know, vomited, passed out, and then passed out. And I said to him at like 2:30, I said, you're working on my house tomorrow, right? Because you're there. He's there with the keys and eight other Mexican guys to work on the house at 7 a.m. He's right. Like, yeah, I'll be there. I was like, it's 2:45. No, buddy, you just got done vomiting. Really? Oh, yeah. He's going to be there. So Ray drove him home, evidently. And, Jesus Christ. Yeah. It was disgusting, Brian.
So Ozzy vomits twice in the limo on the ride back, and Adam's literally sitting next to him. And while he's vomiting, he offers not a helping hand. He turns to the rest of people and says, of course it's got to be the guy sitting next to me. What are the chances? It's got to be the guy sitting next to me.
Well, there's 11 people in the limo. Yeah. One vomited, and one was being pushed up against him. That was me. And Ray seemed to relish it, by the way. He seemed to enjoy Ozzy vomiting.
Ray was actually really cool. He was very supportive of Ozzy. He had his arm around him.
Ray's a good guy when you're vomiting. It's just when you're sober, he's tough. But if you are actually vomiting because alcohol. And then Ozzy did one of these things, too, where he said to me, you know when people have, they have 16 shots and then tell you why they're vomiting and it's not because they had 16 shots?
Food poison.
He says he got 16 shots of salsa, tequila, or Cuervo, whatever. But then he looked at me. This is the following day, though. This is Friday. It's like, some of that wasn't salsa. That was cheap off-brand tequila. It's like, yeah, okay, buddy. Listen, you can drink 16 shots of top-shelf tequila. You're going to vomit. It's not like somebody slipped in some no-name brand.
Right.
Donkey Joe's for three of the shots, and then it's back to the salsa tequila.
It's,
I mean,
different guy tricks than girl tricks. I learned this. I thought I knew all girl tricks, and you have to pardon me because I was in Phoenix for a Cinco de Mayo, and we did a ton of stuff, which if you care about, I'll tell you later. But by the way, Phoenix, you guys completely rock. I had such a good time.
Phoenix is good.
But I just learned a girl trick on the last show I used to do. The only thing I think I learned that was positive or that I remember from that show was the girl said, a lot of times girls pull this trick when they have their first glass of wine or whatever. They say, and you know, I haven't eaten all day. Maybe I shouldn't drink this. That's an excuse that they are going to act in any way they choose. And if you go for it, that's great. And if they feel guilty, they'll say, you know, I should have eaten something. Or if they act all weird and forward and you don't go for it, they can say, I'm sorry, I didn't eat all day. And I didn't think about it at all. And I'm in Phoenix. And I meet this girl that I've known for like a long time, but only I met her once, and then we've been on MySpace. And she shows up, and she takes her first sip, and she looks at me, and I went, and she goes, "You know, I haven't eaten all day. Maybe I shouldn't drink this." And then just drinks it. And I went, "Wow, this chick's gonna do something, isn't she?"
Open for business.
Yeah, trying to relinquish.
Yeah,
not that I didn't anything. I'm saying I
know you just watched her do stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I knew that it was the second she said it. I went, "Hey, this is a girl trick. I know."
the guys, you know, with the bad. And the other ones. There's another girl thing that happens too, which is we used to talk to them all the time. We did Loveline, which is I think I got drugged last night.
Yeah,
I got drugged last night and I had sex with this guy I barely knew. Yeah, what happened? Had you been drinking? Well, not much. Just started off with red wine and then went to beer and then went to tequila and then went to Everclear and then eventually just went to Lantern Oil. But at a certain point,
I had a little nail polish remover.
Somewhere between the sterno and huffing copier toner, I think somebody slipped something into the copier toner because I was lightheaded. You had 26 drinks last night, my dear. You weigh 109 pounds. I would say that's enough.
I've been roofied twice. And it's,
what?
Well, once was voluntarily.
Oh.
Once was a radio bit. Probably one of the best, most talked about radio bits I ever did.
Roofied.
Before
they were known as the date rape drug, or I wouldn't have done it. It would have been in such poor taste. It was just the knockout drug running around frat houses.
Right.
I didn't think it could really do it. And so what we did was for a week, we took bets. I was going to be on Michigan Avenue and turn right and start walking. And you would write your name on the sidewalk. And if I passed out on your name, you won $1,000. So I went down to Michigan Avenue, I took the roofie, and I started walking. And I think I made it well over a mile, maybe more. But I don't really remember what happened because I just woke up in the emergency room.
Really?
Yeah. But out you go, man.
In the emergency room.
Yeah, I remember starting to feel dizzy a little bit because I had taken the phone and I'd asked one of the road crew, whatever they're called. I couldn't hold the phone to my mouth.
It's kind of like, wow.
So we just taped the phone to my head. So I look just like retarded anyway. I mean, I'm literally cell phone taped to my head. And I'm walking down the street, and I don't know where I went, but apparently, and there's lots of tape of it, because news crews and just people curious are going at walking pace next to me down the busiest street in Chicago. And finally, so I went and landed, my face actually smashed into someone's name. The blood clearly marked who won the $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah. That was my best roofie story and probably the most talked about bit I ever did on the air.
I'd like to get one of those just for flights to the East Coast. And so I could rate myself in the plane bathroom. All right. We need to take a break. Well, speaking of being effed up, Cinco de Mayo. What was that, Saturday?
Yeah, I think so.
Saturday. That's right. So people got effed up. Ozzy vomited. By the way, this was Ozzy drinking on the 3rd of May. Imagine what he did on the 5th. I want to hear your stories about being plowed, and you can weave Mexico in there. I can tell you some stories about Mexico.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But let's have a 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM, your Mexico/loaded/vomiting in somebody's lap. I vomited in a car once and ruined two of my friend's sweaters. That's right. Two of one guy's sweaters and with one vomit. I'll tell you how I did that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Jackman still recovering from last week's San Diego show. Jackie boy went to DJ, got a hooker to work my bag like a pinata. Today we got Anna Nicole Smith's sister, Donna Hogan. From The Sopranos, Frank Vincent. TV host, Joe Scarborough. For me is the soup, Joel McHale. And Ozzy and Ray are going to review Spider-Man 3. Holy crap, peeps. Today's show is more bedazzled than Bonaducci's jeans.
Hey. Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, fresh off of Cinco de Mayo and then Ozzy doing a Hevo de Bago on the way home from San Diego. Really, the only thing worse possibly than vomiting is sitting next to someone who's vomiting, and not just sitting next to, like on a plane flight where there's a division between the two of you, an armrest or something.
Yeah.
I would too, at least he's drunk and out of it. Ozzy went from snoring to vomiting, back to snoring, and then back to vomiting, and then back to Ray carting his ass home at 2:30 in the morning when we got back from San Diego. I was physically pressed up against Ozzy. There was more part of me touching Ozzy than not touching Ozzy as he vomited. We were like conjoined twins, and one of them was short and squatty and from El Salvador or Nicaragua or who cares, and vomiting into a bag. Thank God we had a bag.
I know.
You know, if you own a limo, a couple things with the limo drivers. If you have a limo, you should have a couple of barf bags in there. Hell, if they're going to put them on airplanes, they should put them in limos. I bet
that would make sense. I mean, those signs say no smoking. It's more expensive than the interior. They had me the pimp mobile from hell in Phoenix.
There's a ton of heaving that goes on in limos. You have 8 people, maybe 12 people, and 3 of them are clinically have consumed enough alcohol. Well, first off, 90% of the reason you get a limo is to get loaded and right. not have to drive.
Right.
So there's your vomit right there. Then you mix that little motion of the ocean and look out. Anyway, want to hear your stories. I vomited, not in the back of the limo, but in the back of a VW Squareback somewhere in the early 80s after chugging a bottle of white wine that was stolen from the Circle K market by my house. Well, not really stolen. We knew a guy who worked there. It was one of those things. If you knew a guy who worked at a 7-Eleven or worked at a mini mart, he just looked the other way while you smuggled out a huge bottle of white wine. I chugged a couple tumblers of that. I borrowed my buddy John Tyler's sweater. He was wearing the matching red version of the blue one I was wearing, and then I heaved onto him and then onto myself, thus taking out both John Tyler's sweaters with one good heave, and then got dropped off on my driveway and then slept in the, on the driveway and woke up the following day with gravel stuck to the cheeks of my face. I remember it as if it was yesterday, looking in the mirror and seeing still pieces of asphalt from the old asphalt driveway. Stuck to my face. We want to hear your vomit stories, your plowed stories, and your Mexico stories, tying it all in with Cinco de Mayo. Chris says he got snookered and took a whiz on a wall in Mexico. I think I could do better than that. Chris?
Hey, Adam. What's going on, man?
What's happening? This doesn't sound like much, whizzing on a wall in Mexico.
Well, it costs much.
But, well, what happened?
Me and my buddy, 19, 20 years old, go down to Mexico to go partying over there on Revolution Street.
Ooh.
On the way back and ready to cross the border, my buddy decides he can't hold it anymore and starts whizzing on the wall. Well, a federal rally comes up. Says, give us some money or we're going to take you to jail. So he extorts about $60 out of my buddy.
That's not the Mexico I know, by the way.
Like a drunken retard, 5 minutes later, I decide I can't hold it anymore either. I go up to a tree and start doing the same thing. Same cop comes up to us, says, give me some more money. You guys are going to jail. Another $120, and that's the story.
I
finally got out of Mexico.
I make zero exaggeration here, no hyperbole. We used to go in Mexico, Tijuana runs all the time. They were pretty spur of the moment, like, hey, we're going to TJ. We never had more than $20 a person because we just didn't. Nobody had any money and there was no ATMs or anything. And we would bring a blanket and the pillow off of the bed that we were sleeping on and throw it into the back of the car and we would go to TJ. And when we were done drinking and done going to the unicorn nudie bar over there on Revolution, we would stagger back to the car, drive toward the beach, and just sprawl out on the beach. That was a night in TJ for us, just sleeping on the Tijuana beach, waking up in the morning with those dogs that walk sideways
right
around you, not knowing where you were. Oh, my God, were we idiots. One time, as I've said famously before, the car broke down on the way to TJ, and we had no spare tire, no AAA, no credit cards, no anything, and the gas stations wouldn't open until the following morning. We parked the car by the side of the freeway, walked down an off-ramp with the blanket and pillow, and crashed out on somebody's lawn until the next morning we could get underway. If I thought my kids were doing 1/100th of that.
See, I do that tonight. That sounds fun to me.
It is when you don't know and you don't care, and what are you going to do? What are they going to do, rob you? You don't have enough money for a bald, right, used tire. But just the idea that me and my buddy Todd had a pillow under one arm and a blanket from our bed under the other arm, and we're just walking down an off-ramp in a town somewhere between here and Tijuana that we've never been to before, going, well, I think the beach is toward the right, so let's start walking that way until we can find a lawn. Doesn't seem like the world's greatest plan. And we were like 20. It's the sad part. But, yes, I threw up in an ice maker.
Interesting.
Ice maker, not a bad place to vomit. A, it keeps the smell down,
right, sure,
it's on ice. B, it's one of those old school ones where you slide the door, and I just slid the door open and heaved right into it and slid the thing right back again.
I was just going to say, the only drunk story I have in Mexico that isn't so obvious is all kind of cute in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't afford anything to drink but the stuff called Tic Tac. That was a quarter for a whole big jug. And then I read in the paper that Tic Tac was causing the indigenous Indians to go blind.
Uh-huh.
So rather than quit drinking, I had a copy of Dostoevsky's Notes from the Underground with me. And every day I would measure a certain distance and put the book up. And if I could still read it, I'd drink more.
Right.
And that's how that was my test. If I was going blind, I'd stop drinking. But I gave myself an eye test with a Russian writer every morning from 6 feet. And if I could still read it, then I would go drink more.
I did the same thing with Chekhov and masturbation.
I can't do it. To the cherry off. Tree. To the cherry orchard, you can't do
it. I was thinking Three Sisters.
No, you can't do it.
Either way, I didn't go blind, and neither did Bonaducci. Steve?
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
What's your story, brother?
What's up, Steve?
Oh, man. I went up to Tahoe about 2 years ago for New Year's with a bunch of my buddies, and we partied all weekend, had a great time. Get back down to San Diego, where we live, and we take a little tactical nap, wake up, and my buddy's like, hey, let's go down to Mexico for the night. So it was my first time ever being down there, so I get down there and find out, hey, all these places have all-you-can-drink booze, which don't really come with a lot of it, but, you know, when you drink about 30 of them, it adds up.
Right.
So we headed back across the border in my buddy's Yukon, and I'm not feeling too hot. I'm sitting in the back seat, and everybody's like, oh, screw this, get in the back, get in the back. So I get in the back, but we still got sleeping bags, all kinds of stuff, and I can't control it, and boom, just let it out everywhere, all over sleeping bags, snowboard gear. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, once you really do, you know, there's this sort of thing. It's like once you spill a coffee in the center console of your car, it'll never be right again. You can clean as much as you want. I could still find some coffee, maybe on the skids that hold the seat up, maybe somewhere in the console box there. When they're always, you vomit into a mess of equipment, sleeping bags and parkas and duffel bags and stuff. There will always be some vomit.
I'm
there.
Still buying my buddy's beers over this, man. It's been about 2 years and I still can't recover.
Yeah, good times there, Steve.
Yeah, always a good party.
Yeah, you know, let me tell you something, kids. You guys don't know how good you have it. Because he mentioned a Yukon. Like, at least you vomited into something that had an airbag and air conditioning.
Right. You know, a purpose. It goes to the Yukon. If you get in trouble, you just hit the button and it goes to the Yukon.
That's
why I don't drive the Tundra.
The road trip, you know, there's road trips and then there's road trips. I mean, when we took my sister's 67 Dodge Dart to Tijuana 1 year and blew it up, and I returned with $40 for my sister, that was a road trip.
Right.
It's one thing when you rent a Denali and you go on a road trip or you just hop into anything that works and anything that's safe and anything that starts. But driving an old piece of ass to Mexico, it's not the Mexican adventure you got to worry. It's the trip, too. I borrowed my sister's 67 Dodge Dart. We drove to Tijuana and the car was overheating every step of the way to Tijuana. And about three quarters of the way there, I said, we're not going to make it, boys. It's not going to work. We're turning around and we're going back. And I really, it was something, if you heard this story before, you're going to hear it again. I'm sorry, I've told this one before, but I don't know if Danny's heard it, which was, I borrowed my sister's Dodge Dart. We drove Tijuana. About every 10 miles, I had to pull over and put water into the thing. We had to change the oil. We had to keep stopping. It kept, you know, the thing was overheating all the way to TJ. About San Juan Capistrano, about two-thirds or three-quarters of the way to Tijuana, I just did the math. I said to everybody in the car, we need to head back and find another car, because if we do get to Tijuana, and that's a pretty big if, we're certainly not getting back from Tijuana. We'll be lucky to make it there before we blow a head gasket, but we sure as hell ain't going to make it all the way home. We're just getting further from home, and this car's going to overheat and blow up. I said, we're turning around. We're going to go find another car. Well, we'd been on the road for 4 hours because we had to keep pulling over and whatever. Everybody in the car went ballistic. They all went berserk. Are you kidding? We left at noon. It's 5 in the afternoon. Where are you? I drove off the freeway. I made a left. I drove under the freeway. Hand of God. No exaggeration. Any kind of timeline here. I made a left. I went, started to go on up the on-ramp to head back to L.A. Everyone was screaming bloody murder as we were going up the on-ramp through a rod. Blew up the engine. I mean, like, pow, chugga, chugga, chugga. Yeah. Everyone dead silent. We coasted to a stop. Somebody brought a car out to us, two people, about 6 hours later. And then the following Monday, when I went back to the junkyard to go find the car and go find the guy gave me $40. Now, I said, I always thought you got $50 when you junked a car. He said, no, not this one. $40. He gave me $40, and I returned and gave my sister the $40. And she said, so let me get this straight.
Yeah. This is what I want to hear is the explanation.
Thursday evening, you borrowed my car, and then Monday afternoon, you're now returning not the keys to the car and the car, but $40. And I said, sis, thank God it wasn't you out there when that baby blew up.
Right.
Because God knows what could have happened to a sweet young thing like yourself out in the wilderness when that car blew up. So thank God I was out there when your car blew up. That's the way I couch it.
Very smart. Nice.
But still, how pissed would you be if someone borrowed your car and returned with
$40?
Yeah, I probably spent five of it on something to eat on the way home.
Of course, the people I hung with that year would not have returned my car and just I've never seen them again.
So at least you gave him $40.
Jeff, Jeff threw up girlfriend's parents during dinner.
Nice.
On girlfriend's parents?
Well, kind of on them and on the table we were all eating on. It was 4th of July. And I had barbecued this really nice dinner for everybody, and I provided drinks and everything, and I'd been drinking all day. And right in the middle of the speech I was making, I just puked all over all the food I had spent hours barbecuing.
Good times.
But Jeff, how long had you been with this girlfriend?
About a year, and it ended shortly after.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, by the way, from Walnut Creek.
Yeah, Bay Area.
Bay Area.
That's right.
Go,
Warriors.
Go Warriors. Yeah.
They play tonight.
Oh, Jesus, T, that's amazing.
I love everyone's booze and throwing up stories, but Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo, has a tight timeline. He's calling in at 6:40. That means we need to break
right
now so we can speak to the great Phil Leotardo next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
You know, I didn't come out here just to buy you a couple of Sundays.
It's a silo.
I don't give a what it is. The hell's wrong with you? Look like a Puerto Rican whore. Make me sick.
So?
Listen, Pally, I get it.
For you.
You want a smack, too?
From the HBO original series The Sopranos, Frank Vincent is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Tough love from Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo. You know, you watch The Sopranos, and everything's so politically incorrect when they're dealing with kids and family, but there's always a, at least half of my head is nodding. You know, last night's episode when Tony Jr. was depressed over a relationship. We've all been there. The dad comes in, basically says, have a beer and get laid and shake it off.
Right.
As opposed to, let's light a candle and put some Enya on. And there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, when you're 20 and you're a guy and you're depressed, a beer and a BJ might just be what the doctor ordered. Speaking of BJs, Frank Vincent on the phone.
Roma.
Good to speak to you, Frank.
How are you, bud?
Good. So I was watching last night's episode, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And it's strange. I don't know why I even enjoyed last night's episode so much, but I really did. Maybe I was just identifying with Tony Jr.
That
being depressed when he got dumped.
Yeah, he was a broken man.
Well, I know the feeling.
Yes. He's got the putrid genes.
Yeah. Well, that was a great scene when Tony was in therapy and he's crying because he wants to take away his kid's pain.
And Jimmy is absolutely magnificent. I mean, he never misses a beat.
No, he is Tony Soprano, no doubt about it. And Frank Vincent, who I should say was not in last night's episode, was in the previews. Here's what's coming up. And there was a couple of scenes with Frank Vincent in it, which leads me to believe that Phil Leotardo is going to start to factor in a big way. Four more episodes. And there's a part of me, I was watching last night, Frank, and I was thinking, no, Frank wasn't in last night's episode. And then I thought, no, that means he's alive.
Yeah, he was mentioned. Your character was mentioned by the cops.
He was mentioned, right.
Yeah.
He's alive. He's alive and well.
Good.
Well, I saw, like I said, the previews for next week coming up or what's left in the next four episodes, and it looks like Frank Vincent's character is going to factor in, and not in a subtle way either. Is that much at least true, Frank?
Well, Phil's factoring in absolutely in the next, all the way to the finale. I mean, I want to tell you that. That's all I'm going
to
tell you.
Now, when you watch all the way to the finale. Now, when you watch like last night's episode.
Yeah.
you weren't in last night's episode, so you probably weren't privy to a lot of the information that was in it?
No, I was privy to it at the read-through. We all read through it. Even though you're not in it, okay, you read through it. I mean, I remember reading the script.
Now, why would you do... Because I feel like that would be an argument I would have with my agent. Like, why do I need to be at the read-through if I'm not in this actual episode?
Well, it's actually a courtesy thing that David likes you to do, so you do it.
Uh-huh.
It's like when you do a scene and they're doing your close-up, the actor that you're talking to stands right next to the camera and you talk to the real actor.
Sure.
Right.
Well, they can't use his sound. They can't use anything about him. A courteous actor will stand there and do it.
Right.
A discourteous actor will go to his dressing room and have some lady with a script.
Right.
And you're going, I love you so much. I love you with all my heart. And she's going, I love you too. You're right.
No, I'll do you one better. It's always the script lady. Oftentimes you're talking to a guy.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, dude, we fought together in NAMM. We were arm in arm. I was your best man. And then you have some 50-year-old friend of your mom's who's standing there reading the script. It's like, hello, can we get the gender?
I call the script lady the grown-up because after you do a scene and she's cut and she gets off her chair, she starts coming over, you say, here come the grown-ups because we blew a couple of lines.
Right.
So they come in. Thank you, man. You know what you said? The thing is supposed to be a thing. Oh, geez, I'm sorry.
Is David Chase a stickler about each and every word?
Every syllable, every word.
Now, do you do a sort of an improv-y take, or does he want them all done to the word?
No improv takes.
You
have to be prepared and ready.
Well, like on movies, like Frank Vincent, Raging Bull, Frank Vincent was in Goodfellas. In movies like that, when Joe Pesci would get wound up and start going off and throwing F-bombs around, in a situation like that, he was improvising to some degree
absolutely,
then, right?
Yeah. Movies are totally different than film, than HBO or television is even worse because you haven't got the time.
Right. Right.
Yeah, what you do is when you go into the first rehearsal, you work it out and you say you might want to change three lines. But he's right there with you, the director, and he'll say, okay, you can use that, change this, put that. They'll put it on paper. Then when we're ready to shoot it, we already have it in our hands that what we just did at the rehearsal. So it's improv rehearsals and you do it, you know.
I got cut out of a movie once where I was supposed to be having a phone conversation with Will Ferrell. Except for it was a woman.
Oh,
it was the woman script lady again. So, and it's not only is it a guy, it's a guy I know well, except for there's a woman's voice who's off camera. And I was like, hand it to a dude, would you? At least this feels weird to me.
Right, that's fun.
All right, so Phil, I should say Frank.
It's hard not to.
It is hard. It is hard. Now, Christopher, and again, if you don't want to hear about The Sopranos last night, shut your radios off. But
if you've TiVo'd this and you're waiting...
Christopher back on the booze.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man. That's a big
I couldn't
deal.
Believe what happened. Let me ask you this, and maybe I'm stretching too far, but we talked about David Chase, who's the creator and auteur, and in this episode last night, the writer gets killed. And I thought, I wonder if that's a metaphor.
Wow. That's interesting. I think that they had to kill somebody in the episode, and Michael went off. And you know what, Michael, when he said to him, "You're in the mafia," that was the thing that turned Christopher around.
That was the thing,
right?
Because you can never say that.
He realized he told him too much. He started telling him about Adriana,
right?
You know, and now the guy knows too much. And I got to get out of here. I'm drunk. I'm whacked out. So long, buddy.
Plus, Tim Daly is on the Grey's Anatomy spinoff, so he had to die.
And the thing, I was thinking about the New Jersey cops. Horrible. Everyone kills everyone. No one ever gets popped for doing that. They get stuff, they get like racketeering from 1971, but they never get, they just shoot everybody and wipe down the handle and move on.
But Chris sounding like he's going to turn state's evidence against the Sopranos.
You realize that Tony gave the FBI guys a little information about the potential Arabs or something.
Right.
The very beginning, he gave them something. They might be terrorists, he said.
Yeah, it's all. I can't believe just four episodes left. I'm dying to know what happens. But on the other hand, as we've spoken of, we're always trying to get the answers to everything. Do we really want them?
No, we don't want them.
I mean, I'd like to just wait and have it unfurled. Love the anticipation of the last episode to see how everything is tied together.
And you won't be disappointed, ever.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be real exciting.
All right. From your mouth to God's ears, Frank Vincent, exactly. Everybody. The Sopranos. FrankVincent.com is where you can go to get a guy's guide to being a man's man.
Adam, yes. Kimmel said hello.
Oh, did you talk to Kimmel?
I did the show Friday, yeah.
Who did it Friday? Oh, I TiVo'd it. Then I'll watch it tonight.
Cool, let me know what you think.
I was over at Kimmel's. You want to talk about a horrible human being.
Kimmel?
No, me.
Oh.
Kimmel's a great guy. Yeah, I'm a horrible guy. Here's how good Kimmel is. I didn't want to get the fight on Saturday because I'm too cheap.
Right.
And Kimmel got it on HD and on regular TV. So he bought it twice. And then he invited everyone over to his house.
Cool.
I said to Kimmel on like Thursday or Friday, hey, you ought to have some people over to your house to watch the fight when you buy it twice on both your TV sets. And he said, I'm working all day on Saturday. And I said, all right. So I called David Allen Greer.
Right.
And I said, Dag, my main man. I black it up a little when we're talking.
Right.
Hey, yeah. Adam.
I said, Dag, are you going to get the fight? And he said, yeah, I am. And I said, fantastic. I'll see you Saturday night about 6:30. And he literally said to me, great, I'll be making fried chicken. And I said,
cool.
are you making a racist joke? He said, no, I make really good fried chicken. We're not allowed to eat fried chicken. Well, I never found out because I got a call from Jimmy at 6 on Saturday saying, I do have the fight. I am coming home. Come over. And Kimmel lives within walking distance of my house. So I called Dag and I said, hey, Dag, you want to come over to Kimmel's house? And he said, no, I invited a bunch of people to my house. And I said, all right, brother, catch you on down the road. And I went over to Jimmy's.
You're a bad guy.
I'm a horrible human being.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Shame on you, bro.
FrankVincent.com is where you go, everybody.
If that's what I used as my bad thing. Hey, I did something really bad, and that was the extent of it. I'd go right to heaven.
Yes, I know. It's all relative. Frank, great talking to you as per usual, brother.
See you next week.
We'll be watching.
It was so good last night. Riveting.
It was, and I didn't like the episode before it as much, and I really, like I said, I don't know why. There wasn't a ton that went on last night. I mean, Chris getting on the sauce was cool. But it is a weird thing, and I guess it's what makes us human beings, which is I feel if I sat down and read the script from last night's episode versus the week before's episode, I don't think I would know the difference, which one was stronger, which one is more compelling. Sucked in and glued in last night. Not quite the weekend before. T.
Yes.
The news. What's coming up?
We got the Hoff, we got the Hilton, and we got the De La Hoya.
Yeah. Nice. De La Hoya. Nobody more happy about a loss than De La Hoya.
Yes.
He gets interviewed after those fights, and he's like, well, you know, hey, I got to give my all credit to Golden Boy, and I give a credit to my opponent. Came in, he showed. It was like, you were this close. And oftentimes, De La Hoya's had some tough decisions.
That was a tough decision for him.
Yeah. And he's had tougher decisions. And I would be like, are you kidding? What is going? Please, what are these? I would never stop harping and bitching it. He's just like, his eyes are wide open. And he's like, hey, okay, all right. I guess when you make $30 million.
Easy to be gracious in defeat.
Easier, right. Yes. When you made $20 million more than the guy who just beat you up. Well, who really got the decision in that case? We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, Scientology.
Now you're just f***ing with me.
That was Adam Explains Scientology to 1780s guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we is back on the Adam Carolla Show. But I'm going to let Teresa Strasser take over for just about 17 minutes with the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
I don't know if you've seen the home video of David Hasselhoff shot by his 16-year-old daughter, Taylor, in which Hasselhoff is very drunk. He's lying on a hotel room floor. He's shirtless, and he's very sloppily eating a hamburger while his daughter films him and scolds him for drinking. Have you guys seen this?
Yes, I have. Well, why is he on a hotel room floor?
He may be staying in Las Vegas to do the producers. Maybe he's staying at a hotel.
Uh-huh.
It's unclear, but he's...
Is she there visiting him, or are they on vacation together?
It looks like she's visiting him, and you know, there's rumor that he asked her to tape him if he was ever drunk so he could see what it looked like. He's denied that. He has a 16-year-old daughter who taped this Taylor and another 14-year-old daughter. And it's pretty disturbing. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I wasn't that disturbed by it.
I wasn't that disturbed.
All right. Oh, good. Okay. Part one, Hasselhoff, drunk, being taped by his 16-year-old daughter, Taylor, eating a hamburger.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
This is a mess.
Why do you like doing this to yourself?
Because I have a lot of money, but I'm not going to go my way.
Tell me you're going to stop drinking. Tell me right now. Or I'm not going to talk to you ever again. And I will totally disown you because it's not fair to meet your family. What you're doing.
I'll be fine. I'll be alive.
That's so wasted.
I'm bull.
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
Dude, that is
better
so
than Ozzy
wasted.
On the way back from San Diego. Well, first off, yeah, if anyone wants to know how relationships work, you just fast forward about 12 years. She's in a relationship. The guy has a couple of beers, comes home from a Super Bowl party. She freaks on him. And the guy's like, what? I had 3 beers watching the Super Bowl. I hate you. And you're like, where's this coming from? I don't know where this is coming from. I had 3 beers. I'm moving out. That's how women in relationships work.
So well, I won't say that I only came home with 3 beers, but as you've seen, I've been very busy. I was a ton of messages while I was gone from my divorce lawyer,
mm-hmm.
who I like saying his name because he'll charge me less. So Adam Sachs, he's an advertiser here.
Right.
But my anyway, poor name, by the way. S-A-C-K-S. Okay, yeah. That's how
And there's just a lot of messages, and Gretchen and I are doing the best we can to keep this really friendly. But it's weird. You also get other people on other teams trying to make you unfriendly.
Sure.
You know, you get messages from people who are claiming to be her friend so they can get information to send to me.
Right.
And then there are people, obviously, who are pretending to be my friend who I tell stuff to, and then they're really telling her stuff. And we're like, you know, she's no longer in love with me, but that's cool. I mean, it's a drag, but she doesn't, like, hate me and stuff. Some of this stuff could be said in a cavalier way, but people can get in your ear, man, and all of a sudden it's this ugly situation.
Agitators.
Yeah, Hasselhoff
but
is,
that's,
yes.
That's the, I'm sorry, I was going to, if Gretchen were divorcing me because I was a drunk, mm-hmm. I don't think she could, with a straight face, say I've ever been seen like that. I mean, and I'm a fall down drunk. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is super sloppy.
That's so drunk.
It is pretty. And if you see it, he's trying to eat this hamburger, and it's just falling apart in his hands, and he's got, like, some mayonnaise on his mouth. It's pretty embarrassing.
I know, but let's all hearken back about 9 months ago when he cut himself shaving,
yes.
and then he cut his hand open because he happened to be playing air guitar and hit a chandelier with it or something. Please, everybody, let's not be so naive.
Well, one of those is actually legitimate.
Which one?
The one where the chandelier fell in his bathroom.
All right. Well, either way.
But the other cut was just he fell.
When Lindsay Lohan is injured because she falls into a shrub every other day, or the lead singer to your favorite pop group who's 23 is in the hospital for dehydration.
Right.
There's booze, there's pills, there's drugs. Look. I just remember about 6 months ago, it was all this, hey, is Hasselhoff drinking? And everyone, right. And he's like, no, I'm fine. I just tipped over in the shower a couple times. Please, everyone, please, let's not be so naive. And
there's tells that your husband's drinking, and if his name's David Hasselhoff, that might be a
Let
hint.
Me say this. He has said that he's a recovering alcoholic and that he, you know, he struggles. And he admitted that he has gone on and
he
off the
He recovers every morning from alcoholism.
You know, I don't know if this is the best advice to give an alcoholic, but if you're like me, I found over Cinco de Mayo, there are 5,000 people at this place, Aunt Chiladas. In Phoenix,
whatever.
And they were drunk. A lot of them were drunk and falling down and going, dude. And I realized I would get hurt drunk, right? Playing around. I got hurt more sober because I'm way more alert to play even harder. You don't have to get wasted to have an excuse to be that kind of a guy. If you're that kind of a guy, you could just be better at it sober.
Well, I've done the Hasselhoff and Baldwin math, and I'm going to go home and snuff out my daughter's life.
Really?
I know it's not something I should be talking about on the radio. But I've done the videotaping, phone recording math, and this could lead to nowhere good. It just can't. The idea that celebrities' kids are ratting them out with tape recorders and video cameras. Oh,
now. Here's what Hasselhoff is
officially on.
Hasselhoff is blaming his estranged wife, Pamela Bach, for leaking the tape. But, of course, the daughter did obviously tape it.
Well, you know what would be a nice little touche? Hasselhoff hides a video camera in, like, the hamper of his daughter. Then he connects with one of his celebrity buddies, like, hey, Scott Baio. Yeah, my daughter, big fan of Charles in Charge. Uh-huh. Why don't you head over to the Hasselhoff house and throw one her way. Don't worry about it. Then we get a sex video of the daughter, and the dad puts it out. Touche.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. But what's going to be great is when this becomes dueling. It's not just Baldwin's daughter turning on him. It's not just Hasselhoff. It's them turning on the daughters now. Okay. I know you got a boyfriend. And I know he'll do anything for $100. I'll just put a video camera inside of his car, inside of his station
wagon.
You are
a blinding, this is great. Brilliant light.
At least you have great. Some leverage if they threaten to release tape of you.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to my daughter when she's 12, pick up this crack pipe. Daddy's going to film you.
Yeah. What? Now, do you want to hear do you want to hear the second half of Hasselhoff? Let's hear it.
Tell me right now you're going to stop drinking.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop drinking. Tell me right now, or I'm not going to talk to you ever again. Tell me right now. Tell me. You're not going to stop, are you?
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Huh?
Good. I like you.
What's it? Did she have it scored? Was there a guy in a Casio behind?
That was taken from an entertainment show.
I think that was us.
Do we need to put music behind everything?
Can I tell you how happy I was out of town for this? Look at my email.
Hey,
it's from the world. Because
You're not playing Baldwin because he's your pal, but you're playing this one. You're not doing that soul search.
The good news is you're fired.
Very valid point. Let me try to address it all. I can provide a half an excuse, but not a full excuse.
But you can also do Mr. Brightside and complain about anything, so you can't be trusted.
Well, I will be as honest with you as I possibly can, okay, which is about 20% honesty.
I will accept that, and I think I will be able to tell the 20%. I know you that well.
I was lying. It was 18%. Here's the thing. First off, Baldwin, I gave a lot of thought to because I had a lot of time. It was all over the news, and it got to me early and often. For some reason, this one slid under my radar. We didn't come into work on Friday, I think, when this thing broke,
right.
And I didn't really catch much of it, and they didn't go berserk like they went with Baldwin, or I didn't watch the news over the weekend, so it wasn't really on my radar. I didn't think about it that much. Also, yes, I don't have a relationship with Hasselhoff, although I did see him at the car show last year, and he gave me one of these. So I didn't think about it, and I didn't think about the hypocrisy of it, and the only excuse I could offer is that he was being, although very inebriated, he knew his daughter was videotaping him. That doesn't mean it's all right to be shown on TV. Baldwin left a message. I mean, when you leave a message, you have no idea, no clue, and no expectation that that message will ever see the light of day. When someone is videotaping you, no matter what you're doing or what state you're in, you can have the reasonable expectation that that may show up somewhere. But the reality is I dropped the ball. I didn't think about it very much. And if I had thought about it more, I don't think I would have played it either.
Hey, Adam.
Hmm.
I really don't care. I just want to declare my love for Teresa.
By the way, I got a lot of that in Phoenix.
But, how nice.
But it's like, I can just start making names up because I don't remember them all, but everybody wants to do it with you.
Wow, that's very flattering. Thank you, Jason, and thanks for making
that's very flattering. Point. A bunch of drunks in Phoenix want to bone me. God, let's light some candles.
But the most important person is Teresa, and she doesn't want to do herself. Keep going.
I'll try to continue. Mm-hmm. I wondered if you'd want me to play this too. That's why I asked before I played it.
Didn't think about it that much for some reason.
Well, there's another drunk in the news, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
As you've probably heard by now, she was sentenced on Friday to 45 days in the slammer. Now, because she's a celebrity, she will more than likely be segregated from the general population, although she will have to shower with the other women in the facility.
Nice. And look, eventually...
But everybody's seen her vagina. The whole world. Her private parts no longer qualify for the word private. They're just parts.
Yes, I wondered if the prison jumpsuit, the standard issue prison outfit will include panties.
It's like you could...
You
can get them at Pep Boys. You just go and get parts. I need a carburetor. I need some spark plugs. I need Paris's vagina. Just give me the parts, because none that are private anymore.
And listen, give me 300 feet of fallopian tubing and birth canal.
Well, she pleaded for leniency to the court.
81 Hilton.
And now she's saying that her rep...
I don't know. Automatic. You know when they ask you questions, by the way? If you do go to a car parts place, you're trying to buy oil or something, they'll go, what do you got? And you go, like, 79 Celica. And they'll go, what is it, the 3-liter or the 2.5? And you go, 2.5. And they go, automatic or... And at a certain point, you're like, I'm buying motor oil.
Leave me alone.
Have you ever had that conversation?
Yo.
My dad's a mechanic. I've had lots of conversations
ever,
like
ever
that.
I've never had that conversation. Well, what kind of car do you have?
Square one.
Yeah. Red.
It's with wheels. What's
it got in it? Well, me usually, but not now because I'm here buying this stuff from you.
It's a Plymouth ashtray.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to call it.
It's a really nice ashtray on wheels.
It used to have a back seat when I was 16, and now it doesn't need one.
It caught on fire.
The latest in the Paris Hilton story is that she's fired Elliot Mintz, her publicist, and she's blaming him.
That's so funny.
Because he should have explained to her that she shouldn't have driven with the suspended license.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's Elliot's fault.
Suspended license, it's right there in the title, Sweet Pea.
That's right. Now, she's saying that her punishment was cruel and unwarranted. She feels she was treated unfairly.
Was it her first offense?
I think it was her first DUI, but then she was pulled over again.
I hate to do this, but it does seem harsh. I know a lot of people, regular folks, that do not go to jail for a first offense on a DUI 45 days.
Well, I think it wasn't the DUI, it was the driving on the suspended license.
Yeah, and I think it was her second infraction.
Okay, maybe. But it does seem, you know.
Well, like, is she going to do 45 days for sure?
No.
She was sentenced to 45 days. She's going to appeal. But if not, on June 5th, she goes in for 45 days.
No, she doesn't.
You think she'll win the appeal?
No, I think you don't do. They say 45 days. Math to prison is not math to you and I.
Right.
45 days is 17 days.
Yeah, maybe. Right.
She'll get 2-for-1 automatically because the jails are crowded. So it automatically get 2-for-1, so she now is doing 22 and a half days.
Okay.
Then she'll also get what's called good time.
Right.
Any day she doesn't start a fight will count towards good days. So she'll be out in about 17 days.
Far be it for me to defend Paris Hilton, but I will say this when it comes to celebrity, just because I know it on a certain level. You end up getting people around you that handle things. It's hard to figure out sometimes what you're supposed to handle and what they're supposed to handle, and stuff falls in the cracks. Now, suspended license is suspended license, but as a celebrity, you don't pay your own bills, you don't prepare your own taxes, you don't send out presents, you don't do a lot of things, and sometimes people don't get a card or a gift when they're supposed to,
right?
Because your people didn't know they were supposed to, and there becomes this, I thought you were handling it, and they say, I thought you were handling it. And that's why with celebrities, a lot of the time, they oftentimes just go through life and just work and have people around them that are supposed to stop them, like, hey, if I'm packing my gun and I'm heading to LAX, you're supposed to tap me on the shoulder and pull it out of the holster.
You know what? I set that up when I got married to Gretchen the very first day. I said to her exactly this, and I wish we could have remembered it and really lived by it and not forgotten that I was supposed to grow up. This is what I said to her. We woke up married. So I sobered up and I had this conversation. When I decided we were going to stay married, I said exactly this to her. Here's my job. My job's to get drunk, get arrested, go to jail, lose all our money, and humiliate you. Your job is to stop me. Anytime any of those things happen to me, you have failed at your job. And that was, I cut that. If she were to call right now to back me up, which she apparently no longer does, that's exactly the words I said. I said, it's your job. I'm going to spend all our money and go to jail. It's your job to stop us. If it ever happens, you're failing at your job. But she accepted the mission and lived pretty well by it for 17 years.
It's quaint when couples write their own vows.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's a little flowery, but I still like it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, Danny, you mentioned there's actual prison time, and it's not the same as regular
real time.
Michelle Rodriguez, you know that girl from Lost, and she's in the movie Girl Fight. She was sentenced on a DUI conviction and went to the same prison where Paris would go, and she ended up serving 2 hours of a 60-day sentence because it was overcrowded.
There you go.
So, we just need a celebrity prison at this point.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
I mean, instead of being segregated and all that.
Sponsored by People Magazine, so it'd be People Prison.
That's right, People Prison. I like it.
The Staples Center.
Isn't that being on the CW?
Yeah.
All right, let me get to this quickly. Floyd Mayweather Jr., who has never lost a fight and is considered one of the best pound-for-pound boxers ever, beat light middleweight champion Oscar De La Hoya in a close-fought split decision in Vegas on Saturday. Here is Oscar De La Hoya speaking after the loss.
Go on.
Yeah. That was a great fight. We came out to do what we had to do. Obviously, I had to stick to my game plan and fight and put the pressure. And, you know, that's what we came to do. And, you know, I commend Mayweather. He did what he had to do.
Yeah, everyone did what they had to do.
Did what he had to do. The golden boy.
Yeah, it was
going the distance. I didn't think he'd go the distance. I picked the seven. I picked knockout in the seven.
Yeah, he went all 12.
I took Mayweather and won $100 off Dax Shepard, who showed up at Kimmel's house at some point. Except for he didn't have the $100 on him.
Uh-oh.
And I only see Dax Shepard once a year. So, Dax, if you're listening, brother, I could really use the cash.
Okay, I got a boxing and cash story that you're going to kind of hate me.
Well, can we hear that after the break?
It's not a big deal.
Because I think we have to go to break now. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, we got time.
Oh, we do? I'm curious because I got pictures of people sent them to me of you boxing in Phoenix.
A pro with no headgear and I had no mouthpiece.
Well.
I bled a lot. I bled a lot.
But you landed a lot of punches.
Yeah, but he let me. I actually hit him in the face so hard I hurt my elbow again. I mean, yeah, it was a drag. But the thing I wanted to tell you is how bad is this? A fan, I feel terrible now. A fan stood in line and he said, "How much money to buy the gloves you just fought with?"
That's the guy who wrote me. He had your gloves.
Oh, then he's listening and I don't want to tell this.
Oh, come on.
Oh, what I happened? Showed him to the special gloves and I showed them to the owner and I said, "Where can I get another pair of these? Because I'll just give them to this guy." And but he can pay for the cost. I mean, I won't just eat the money.
Right.
And he goes, "Oh, these are special gloves. You can only get these online. They're going to be $200. So I said, "Dude, I can only get them online. I can't replace them."
Right.
"Bye. If you want to give me $100, I'll give it to charity or whatever. It's fine." And I signed the gloves and I gave it to him. I got him a sports chalet for $22.
You gouged the fan?
Yeah.
Well,
I know. I feel awful.
And he was so excited. He sent me a picture of himself and you with the gloves.
Well, I thought rubs lotion on its skin.
I thought you asked the owner or the trainer or somebody.
He said he'd never seen him before.
Well, then how do you know you got him at Sports Chalet for $20?
Because
bucks?
I know where I bought them. That's where I shop. I'm just one way across the street from the Beverly Center.
But
they were hanging on the wall with all the Everlast.
But you bought them for $22?
I think $22.99 or $29.29.
But then why did you ask the owner how much and where do you get them?
I thought maybe there was some money in this.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to give it to charity?
Well, Gretchen and I are getting poor. I don't have the access to cash I used to.
Oh.
And I was in Phoenix, and I don't have just access to money anymore.
And when you say give it to charity, you mean?
You needed some whams around money.
I mean this chick named Charity.
Same Charity.
Did you ever see Sweet Charity?
Dax Shepard's money.
I came to the decision a while ago that if I ever sleep with another girl, they'll be never coming back. I won't ever win Gretchen back. So I decided I'm never going to win her back.
Here we are.
So
I
need a little walking around money.
I got to tell you,
I never heard that.
You know what I do when I need walking around money when I'm strapped for cash?
You went gay walking?
You guys tell me. No. If you tell me what you think of this, I will take, and oftentimes have done this, a writer, Mike, has probably been on a few of these. I will gather together 8 guys from the Kimmel Show, and I'll say,
"Dude, are you gay?
I'm taking you guys out to dinner." Then we'll go out to dinner, and the bill will be $450 bucks. Then I will tell everyone at the table, "Everyone give me $10 or $20, whatever it is. It'll be 30 cents on the dollar, whatever it is. Right. Everyone's plate was $50. I'm whipping out the credit card, and I'm paying for it. I'll get some airline miles out of it. You guys all cough up 10, 15 bucks. I'll have a handful of cash.
Right.
You guys will get yourself a $50 meal." Kimmel thinks that's the lowest, ballest thing in the world. He thinks that's a horrible.
Why?
Because he's hella wheeze on wheels.
I think it's perfectly reasonable. You bought the. You're actually doing.
He
just makes
sense on the dollar.
Because it seems very like horrible etiquette to I don't
to
take
collect
them.
Funds.
No, I don't say I'm taking you guys out on a date. I say let's go out to dinner. We go out to dinner, and then everyone gives me $10. And my feeling is hey, I just bought everyone dinner, and all they paid was $10. And his feeling is that is. Bush League, as the deaf frat guy would say. We need to take ourselves a little break. Anna Nicole's sister, Donna Hogan, who I thought was Hulk Hogan's daughter.
That's who I thought it was.
Big and blonde, any way you slice it. She's got herself a book called Trainwreck out. She's going to fill us in on the life and death of Anna Nicole Smith next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
What we're dealing with here is complete lack of respect for the law.
If you said Smokey and the Bandit...
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
You're correct! Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tour de force by the late, great Jackie Gleason. All right. Hey, the great one. Yeah. Speaking of
you're great one. You have a nickname and everybody knows who you are. The great one.
Like Wayne Gretzky.
The Donna Hogan and Jimmy Kimmel, oftentimes mistaken for the same person. Jimmy Kimmel's on the line. Jimmy?
I apologize. I don't want to interrupt Anna Nicole's sister, but I did want to chime in.
Half-sister,
if I could.
By the way, Jimmy.
Please
go ahead.
Please do.
On this dinner thing, a couple things actually I'd like to mention, but Adam, you don't invite people out for dinner. Tell people you're taking them to dinner and then collect. And by the way, that $10-$15, that's BS. It's $20 or $40.
Oh, please. You ask your cousin Sal if I've ever taken $40 off of him when I invited him out to dinner.
I believe 20 is the preferred.
Oftentimes
amount.
It's a going rate. Right? Yeah.
That is so. It is so third rate. It's unbelievable.
Well, first off, everyone loves the Mojo's potatoes that Shakey serves up. So number one.
Let me tell you the best part is Adam will do this at his own restaurant.
Oh no!
Yes.
Wait, Jimmy, this is going to make it better. Do you want to know what he got me for Christmas?
What did he get you?
Play the crickets.
Oh, did I get you nothing?
I waited every day. When we were off, I thought, I can't wait to see what Carolla got me.
Can I say
one? And I ran down to the mailbox and I thought, this is going to be exciting. A gift from Carolla. I wonder what it's going to be. Maybe a gift certificate to Barney's or just maybe something thoughtful like a car.
You're
Can I
Jewish.
Say one word? You
hate Santa.
I want 8 gifts.
All right.
That's what Hanukkah. But you know,
I'll
token.
Give you 5.5 gifts, baby, right after the show.
You went out of your way. You killed Christ and I expect to have presents.
What happened?
Yes. I want to add one other thing. Is on Saturday night, Mike August called me and says, Adam wants to know if you're getting the fight at your house. And I planned to just watch it myself. I had a busy day, but I said, yeah, all right, I'll get it. You know, I'll get a bunch of sandwiches from Bay Cities. It'll be good times. Adam comes over. We watch the fight. And then just suddenly he disappears. I mean, he's just gone. I said, where's Adam? They're like, oh, he went home. And this is not a big party, by the way. There were like 6 people there.
The fight was over, brother. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah, I do that, too. I don't like saying goodbye.
Somebody left, and I just drafted them out of there.
Yeah, I do that,
too. I don't know who it was.
No one left.
Maybe it was me left. Maybe I drafted myself.
People rushed out because I farted, and then...
Oh, that's what...
You decided to sail home
that's,
on that cloud.
That's what happened. Everyone broke like Jimmy's wind. Jimmy let a couple egg bombs go.
It's a weird way to end a conversation about etiquette.
It really is.
It is, I know.
Jimmy cleared the room. That's right. That's what happened. All right, Jimmy. We have Donna Hogan.
That's some power, dude, though. I gotta tell you, I'm impressed.
Yes,
I'm
all right.
For
thank you for
interrupting.
Oh, it's nice to hear from you, Jimmy.
Thank you for setting the record straight.
Something for Christmas. All right.
Thank you.
I'm only charging $40 for it.
I feel so bad for ratting you out, because I know it was your assistant's fault at the time, but not the wonderful Jay that you have now.
Brian. What now? I got you something, right, Brian?
I got nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, I asked your assistant, did Adam get me something? So I know what to get him.
Uh-huh.
And she said yes. So I went and got you something.
So theoretically, what happened is that the assistant may have screwed up. If she said, yeah, of course, Adam got you something.
What do you get, Brian?
I don't want to know what I got, but I remember when Teresa was deciding, she was talking to her old sports guy, Dave Damashek. What should I get? What should I get the underlings for Christmas?
What did I get you, cheap ass?
You got me a gift card, a Visa gift card that works like cash anyway.
Yeah, that's what I got the underlings.
Very generous.
Now, if I remember about the time this all transpired, So you didn't get anything in the mail. On the other hand, the rest of the staff for Christmas.
I got my job. I got to keep my job.
Oh, yeah. They got fired for Christmas.
I got a nice call.
Yeah. So I would take that as a gift. When you're out of work as long as I was and everybody else is kind of gone, there's a gift.
Well, we were talking earlier, and I'm going to get to Donna Hogan 1 second, that there is this thing where I was just defending Paris Hilton, and enjoy it, baby, because I rarely do it. But you get a few people working for you and things like that happen. Yeah. Yes, you think your assistant sent over a bottle of champagne and they did not. I got a bunch of these Visa whatever cards for like $500 and just gave them out to everybody. I, for some reason, thought you had one, but evidently not. It's all right. My wife dealt them out like playing cards to her friends and family. Donna Hogan?
Yes.
Speaking of family, good to speak to you.
I am so bummed that I'm missing this.
Well,
what do you mean you're missing it? You're right here.
Well, I mean, I wish I was there. You are having such a great time.
Where are you calling from, Donna?
Houston.
Houston. Is that where you live full time?
Yes.
Great town.
I was supposed to be in California, but my daughter had an asthma attack last night.
I'm sorry to hear that. The Life and Death of Anna Nicole Smith, Trainwreck is the name of your book. Now, how does your relationship go with Anna? And let's start at the beginning. You're her half-sister.
Yeah, we had the same father, different mother.
Yeah, I saw him in Entertainment Tonight. He seems like a delight.
Yeah. So our father?
Yes.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He just looked like some sort of... First off, he looked like he's trapped. He looked like part of the... I was going to say...
Go, very nice.
I don't want to say hee-haw. I didn't want to be insulting. I would say the Memphis Mafia.
Actually, I saw the tape and you'd be insulting Texas the people Mafia. You'd be insulting the people from hee-haw.
The guys that hung around Elvis is what he seemed like to me.
Right. Memphis Mafia, right?
Hey, CD, you make some allegations in your book, one of which is that Anna Nicole had some lesbian affairs.
Yes, well, that was open, but which wasn't in the book. It should have been, but I admit that I have too. So,
That should
you
have
know,
been
I mean, I'm open about that. So, I've never judged my sister on that because actually, all three of us, the sisters, we've always been attracted to women as well.
Uh-huh. Let me just ask this question of all the guys out there.
Daughter's having another asthma attack, by the way.
We're not talking about.
Like Angie, who
had too much to drink one night and put a lampshade on her head. We're talking about alcoholic women.
Uh-huh.
At meetings, that's the first thing they tell you. The first thing they're ashamed of is sleeping with strangers, and then I started sleeping with women. It's my theory, and I think it's a damn good theory, that all women are a six-pack away from a lesbian affair.
Most women are attracted to other women.
Now, see,
They're just not open about it.
I'd have said three glasses of Merlot if I weren't talking to Anna Nicole Smith's sister.
Right. Well, it is. Here's the thing about women is no harm, no foul. It's like you want to get in the octagon or you want to do point fighting. You know, you're just not going to get beat up that badly by a woman sexually.
Right.
Whereas a man, you could walk with a limp for a while if things got out of hand. Not with me. Donna?
Yes.
So Anna's half sister. So how does it work? You are older, younger?
I am 4 years younger.
4 years younger. Mm-hmm. So you're born and you have the same father.
Same father.
Did the father abandon your family as well as Anna's?
No, actually, I give details of why she wasn't raised with our father. Actually, it was court ordered. He was actually not allowed around the family.
Was he physically, sexually abusive?
Sexually abused people in the family.
Was he convicted of anything?
Yes, he was convicted of it.
Wow.
Do you reckon he did that to Anna?
No, she was 2 years old. And actually, you know what? I can't say that because actually he did that to me when I was young. What?
He sexually abused you.
Yes.
Now, I know this may seem off the subject, but you claim that Anna was on drugs for 16 years, that she's been on cocaine, and...
No, I said I never saw her do drugs whenever she was around me.
It says right here, claims Anna was hooked on drugs for 16 years before her death. You didn't
that was other family members stating that. And I state that I personally did not see her do any drugs
you know what?
Around
it, me. It doesn't really have a lot to do with my question, although that's kind of interesting.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting that... A sexually abused child related to Anna Nicole Smith who has lesbian affairs and dies and takes all these drugs and goes crazy as hell. You own a gift basket store?
What?
You send out gift baskets for a living?
I do give baskets, yes.
What the hell do you get in one of your gift baskets? Because I want one.
Roofies and tears. It's a bad name, by the way.
Some trim spa.
Are you asking if I have, like, sexual gift baskets for you?
No, I'm just asking, like, if people are
around. I can create you a special basket if that's what you want.
I will personally
deliver it there for you.
Well,
when you say there, deliver it there. Be more specific. If I request really there, will you deliver it there for me?
Let me tell you what to put in the basket. Nair and Marlboro
in so
Reds.
Much trouble if I was there right now.
I'm sorry. Can I go back? This Anna Nicole's father, you're saying, and your father sexually abused you.
Yes.
Look, I don't know if he did anything to Anna Nicole or not. All I know is I saw video of her from like 1989 where she was in a limo after just winning Playmate of the Year, and she's like, "Daddy's coming to see me," and she had her hair like pigtails. It was creepy and weird, especially about
it. Give our father naked pictures all the time of her.
What?
She would give the whole family, and it just really bothered me that she would do that. And she knew what his background was.
Well, how could she have any boundaries in that family?
That's right. There were no sexual boundaries.
She would walk around naked a lot, and it just, you know, it was very. Especially, you know, like in front of my husband at the time or something, you know, it was very disrespectful, but she didn't care. She just, that was her way. She just thought nakedness was openness.
Yeah, it had to be a great conversation with you and your husband.
Well, like, I've heard her say that.
Someone's got to talk to her about putting some clothes on around this house.
Exactly.
All right. As soon as I'm done masturbating, sweetie. Right. As a matter of fact, let's focus. Let's prioritize. We need that plastic put on the sofa. Then we'll talk to her about it.
Did you ever meet Marshall when they were married?
No. You know, I never met him. He was not around the family much.
The 85-year-old billionaire. Yeah. So you haven't. When is the last time you spoke to him?
It was 10 years ago, yeah.
10 years ago.
And actually, I am the one that pushed away from her first.
Now, what about those who claim that you're just doing this to sensationalize this, to make money, to jump on the bandwagon?
I would tell them to do the background on a book because, actually, you know, I probably lost money doing this book. I really have. You know, I had I quit my job because of all the theft.
Yeah, well, how did you lose
money?
Well, because I was making more money at my job, you know, and so there's not a lot of money there. I mean, I have my gift baskets on the side and everything, but
that's a good question. What was your advance?
I'm just going to be honest. The advance was like $20,000 altogether.
Right.
But there's so many hands in the pot if anybody's done a book. You know that. So, I mean, mine was like the smallest part. But you know what? It wasn't just about money, period. It was about, I mean, look at our dysfunctional family. Oh. And it just continues, you know, for each generation. And right now, my concentration's on my nieces and nephews.
Have you met Danny Lynn?
We have something set up. I really can't say on that, but I will be.
Well, what do you think of Larry Burkhead, him raising her?
I'm really glad that Larry's the father.
You are. And your mother is not Virgie.
No.
And your mother wants no part of this or feels... Is your mother still alive?
Yes, my mother's still alive.
And does she want any part of this? I never hear her.
No. My mother has been in and out of mental institutions since I was little.
Good times. Perhaps how old's your daughter?
My daughter's not here, actually. She's 13.
Perhaps we should sterilize her. I know it sounds cruel, but I'm doing the math here. I've taken a look at the family tree.
One thing that I can say, that I have always kept my children sheltered from a lot of this.
Oh, yeah.
But you're doing your best, I know.
I really have. I still watch everything that they watch. You know, I have always been, they've never been around my mother, for one thing. They've never met my mother.
All right. Well, look.
I've never met my mother.
You can raise your kid like veal, but eventually, you can pull the cable out of the wall, but eventually they're going to pick stuff up through osmosis.
From what I understand.
And for years they've seen their aunt do crazy stuff on there, you know? I mean.
I think they were raised like veal.
Right.
If you understand the dark room and the massage.
Yes.
But one thing I want you to know, my name is Danny Bonaducci, and I wrote a book. And I just want you to know that if you wrote a book and you sold out your family in exchange for money, you are my kind of girl. And I just want you to know that from the bottom of my
heart. We'll go out on
it. I back you 100%.
I just don't know where all this money is that everybody keeps saying.
Yeah, no.
If you sold out your family, you didn't get money. You're just a lame ass. But if you sold out your money.
You know what? It's fine. But I get tons of letters from a lot of people that this affected. And it makes me feel really good that if it can help some people, then fine.
All right, Donna. Donna Hogan, everyone. Trainwreck, the life and death of Anna Nicole Smith. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you.
Joe Scarborough, who's exactly the same person, by the way.
Donna was very forthcoming, I thought.
Yeah. Look, everybody, perhaps you should slow it down a little with the kids when everyone is just basically having at each other. When your family's tree is a tree that gets loaded and then grabs its own root and tries to have sex with it. Not a great tree. Please, everybody, stop crapping out the kids. Although it's refreshing to see white people in trouble. I must say that. I'm always always glad to see to realize sometimes when I think maybe there's no more white trash. Maybe that's just some vestige of the past we hang on to. And then I go, nope, still alive and kicking and doing just fine. Thank you very much. Speaking of doing fine, Joe Scarborough is on the phone. Joe?
Hey, yeah, speaking of white trash.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Joe Scarborough, MSNBC. Danny is and has done the show on many occasions.
He's actually offered me a permanent slot on the show.
That's right. That's right.
Well, either you're very good on the show or he has very low self-esteem.
I'm thinking of going with a little of both.
Well, Joe, what makes Danny such a good guest on your show?
You know, it's when you go past a train, you know, and it's derailed, people stop and look. Now, Danny's absolutely fantastic. He goes on there. When you have somebody like Paris Hilton going through the issues that she's going through, or Lindsay Lohan, and everybody's making excuses for him, Danny's the first guy to come on and call BS on it and say, hey, listen, this is where I've been from. This is what I've been through. And it's a bunch of garbage. These people are being coddled, and they need tough love.
The other thing is that a lot of people that would go on Scarborough, and not that there's any other shows like that, or shows of that ilk, need to protect themselves from powerful people who are in some kind of trouble. There's nobody who can hurt me. I've done all the things I have done. I've never said the words not guilty in my whole friggin' life. Nobody can do me any damage. So if Spielberg goes out and does something really bad and everybody says, well, you don't really understand what happened was, I can go out and say anything I want because Spielberg can't hurt me. That's what makes me a good guest on Scarborough.
And it's really what we do. The first half hour to 45 minutes, we do hard news, and I'm sort of the political equivalent of Danny. I can say whatever I want to both sides, and actually people tune in because they want somebody to be able to say, hey, this is what it's really like in Washington. And then Danny can do it the last 10, 15 minutes when we do pop culture. And speaking of Washington, Adam, I'm a huge fan from back when I was in Congress from 95 to 2001, whenever I'd be driving around the city late at night. Hook up with a madam, D.C. madam. I would listen to Loveline.
Well, thank you, Joe. Yes, our show was very popular in D.C. for some years.
Oh, it was amazing. Amazing.
Well, thank you, Joe.
You're talking about Deborah Palfrey?
Yeah, what do you think about, thank you for the compliment, number one. And number two, I will heap on to the compliment of our own Danny Bonaducci, which is I have hosted shows and had Danny on as a guest on the show, and he brings it, which is to say, you brought up Paris Hilton. When Paris Hilton is a guest on your show, you better bring it because she's going to be checking her BlackBerry during the interview.
Right.
When Bonaducci comes on the show, you can shut your mic, slide it away, and sit back and blow a butt for 10 minutes while he goes nuts.
Yeah, you can
and then
say
you
hello.
Go to a commercial.
You can say
which
hello.
Which is exactly what I do. Which the best part of Danny is afterwards, our bookers are always having to apologize to the other guests for something that Danny said. Scared the hell out of them because they were afraid that somehow somehow their reputation is going to be sullied by the fact that Danny just trashed somebody else in Hollywood that they wanted to get an interview with. So, it's very refreshing. Somebody that basically is on a tightrope without a net, and that's exactly what Danny does. But, Adam, I want to go back to you really quickly.
Yes.
Because my favorite Loveline moment in Washington, D.C., back on HFS when it was a real radio station, was when a guy called in. He had a heroin addiction, and he was thinking about going into rehab, and he said, you know what? you were playing the doctor that night. And you said, you know what, you got about three or four things that could happen to you if you're on heroin. Number one, you can go to rehab and get taken care of. Number two, you could, and then you just stop, you go, well, you die, actually. You die.
Yeah, I was saying to somebody, speaking of heroin, I was saying to somebody 2 days ago, I said, I've never tried heroin, and here's the deal. I figured either I'm going to vomit uncontrollably and have the worst day and night of my life, or I'm going to love it and then chase the dragon for the rest of my life until my veins collapse. Either way, either I have a horrible experience, or I love it so much I can never put the syringe down.
And you have a horrible experience for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right.
That's
a good outcome.
Yeah.
Right, but pot brownies. Now, don't get me started, Joe.
What are your options with those? Either
you sit there and eat.
I said seriously, when I have the drug talk with my kids, I'm going to say, look, get into a drug. I've done mushrooms about five times in my life. Each time I announce, this is the world's greatest drug, I will be doing this every weekend for the rest of my life, and then 8 years later I try it again.
Right.
There are just certain drugs that you just can't do every day. Coke ain't one of them. Speed ain't
right.
one of them.
Oh,
booze ain't one of them. Cigarettes ain't one of them. Heroin ain't one of them. All the ones you can do every day, you shouldn't try. The mushrooms, go sick, baby doll.
Wow. That's advice from Corolla right there.
See, that's something you could tell your kids,
They claim at rehab because of, they put down, there was a form to get to know you. They put down, how many sexual partners have you had? So I wrote approximately 500. And they said, and then they talked to me and they said, well, you're a sex addict. And I said, no, I'm lucky. And they said, no. I said, did you read Charlie Sheen's book? He had 5,000 women. I barely got Charlie Sheen's agent's commission of chicks.
That's right.
Don't be calling me names, man.
Yes.
Will Chamberlain, he just laughs from the heavens at me.
Yes.
But there's an addiction I feel you can deal in every day. As long as there's a willing participant, and I'm even if I'm alone, I've got one.
Well,
that's an addiction you can share every day.
Well, Joe, you're a married man, yes?
I am, yes, I am.
How long have you been married?
6 years.
Congratulations.
And Scarborough Country, by the way, MSNBC, Monday night, Monday through Thursday, I should say, 9 p.m. What should we look forward to on Scarborough Country?
Getting Danny Bonaducci on, maybe we'll get you in the A block, Danny, when we're talking about the Iraq War, and you can just talk about your sex addiction. I think that'll...
It's a nice juxtaposition.
Well, you'd be...
You'd be
surprised at the things I actually know. When Hasselhoff talks to his kid wasted, yes, I can say, you know what, you got to have a little, you know, sympathy for the guy. I can't say with a straight face that my daughter's never seen me stumbling drunk. Yes, I can, in fact, do that. But I do, in fact, know a great deal about the Middle East, and my little brother's been shot there twice. So, I mean, you can have me on for any reason. I do other tricks.
You do everything. You do bar mitzvahs, too?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact.
Well, here's the thing about Bonaducci, quite honestly. He'll talk about things he knows very well for quite some time, and then he'll talk about things he has no idea of for even longer.
Yeah.
That's what you got to love about Bonaducci.
I'm the Scarborough Country, baby.
Well, Joe, the question is when am I going to be on the program?
I'd love to have you on any time.
No, thanks.
I don't do cable. I would love it.
No, I'd love to.
I have seen you on cable a lot.
I know. I'd love to do it, Joe. I'd be honored to do it.
Tell me about Dr. Drew. Behind the scenes, what was he really like?
Gay as they come. Did that come out loud?
No, that's a good question, Joe. Most surprising thing about Dr. Drew?
Dr. Drew, first off, a man of great passion.
Yep.
Immense passion.
He ain't kidding.
He's not kidding. I've said to him on more than one occasion, look, when we're traveling, speaking to colleges, why don't we slip into a strip club or something? And he said, no, thanks. And I said, why are you so uptight, man? He said, I'm not uptight. If I see naked women dance around for 2 hours while I'm drinking beer, I will need to have contact with one of them. So he's actually, there are guys who don't go into strip clubs because they are uptight, and then there are guys who don't go in because a raping party will begin.
Right.
Reason I don't go to nudie bars is the same reason I don't go to cocaine parties. There's no reason for me to be at that place if I'm not going to participate,
Joe,
and I'm not going
to. Do you relate to that? Would you go to a strip club?
Now, you know, I've always said, and all of my friends have always, you know, right? And I've got no problem with sex, of course, just with my wife. But I've never understood the concept, of strip clubs, because it's, I've always said it's like going into a great restaurant and putting a slab of meat on, you know, on a table in front of you. I'm not going to stare at the meat. What, in fact, I was watching The Sopranos last night.
Yeah.
And, you
yeah.
know, doing all the lap dances, and I'm thinking that looks good, but
yeah.
just not going to stare at it.
It's true.
So why do I want to go into a strip club?
I did stare at my own meat, though, after The Sopranos
that
episode.
That was a hot scene.
Yeah. No, you're probably the same as Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew is off the air exactly the same as he is on the air.
He
just is Dr. Drew through and through. And that's probably what made him so effective and what makes him so effective all these years. Because eventually, if you're not who you are on the air, eventually people will catch up to you. You know, if you're Rosie and you're talking about the Cutie Patootie Club for a long time and making nice with Donny Osmond, and then a few years later we find out you're a raving bitch lunatic, it doesn't work for your career. Yeah, although, right. I guess she's doing okay. But Dr. Drew is Dr. Drew.
All the time.
Through and through and all the time.
Hey, by the way, yes. when I do a lot of cable shows and stuff like that, and I will tell them, the main thing I really need you to say, since these kind of shows don't pay, I do the Scarborough Show because it's great to do. You get to talk to an educated man.
Oh, they don't pay? All right, cancel me, Jeff.
The one reason I do it is for the credit for this radio station, because we don't have any promotion money. They took it from us.
Right.
So Joe is the only one that every single time I'm on says you can hear Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show on 97.1 Free FM every single time. And a lot of people don't do that, and they promise they will. I just want to say thank you for that. That's, you know, one of the main reasons, aside from your lovely company, that I do it. You never forget. I just want to point out that you can see Scarborough Country, MSNBC, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m.
Well, Joe, we'll see you on the air soon, and hopefully I'll see me smiling back at me.
I would love to have you on, and we don't pay, but we'll try to pay you and, you know.
You give me a tote bag and a coffee mug, and I'm there.
They don't even do that, dude.
Oh, really?
No tote bags.
That's deep cable. That no tote bags.
Joe, thank you very much.
Shows bathrobes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, bathrobe is something you can use.
We have 50 of them.
One of the conversations I had with Dax Shepard over at Kimmel's house, other than how am I going to get this $100 off you, cheap bastard, when you don't have it with you, is what's with the tote bags? I now have found a use for all the tote bags I've gotten from doing TV shows, which is to stuff all the tote bags
right.
into. My tote bag has become a tote bag. And by the way, do we need the word tote in front of bag?
As long as
we'll do the
this,
bag math.
Could be a duffel.
The new gift on
either
the,
way, you're toting it.
That's true.
The I think it's the
this
late show with Craig Ferguson.
Very interesting.
What do you get?
He usually gives me right now. He's been sober 17 years. He was even in, very helpful in my sobriety in the very beginning. You know what was in my dressing room when I got there? A handwritten note that he had obviously written and put in the tote bag. A T-shirt and a bottle of Bacardi.
Huh.
I think they didn't pass the message along to someone. The same person that didn't send you a Christmas gift gave me a tote bag.
Tote bag. All right. Well, Ozzy and Ray are both here. Ozzy and Ray went and saw Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man... what did it make? $155 million over the weekend?
Yeah. Biggest opening ever.
Oh, what is wrong with me? First off, how does stuff sit around for 40 years? I mean, literally the Spider-Man cartoon came onto TV in the 60s, I think it was.
Right.
And it sat around for 40 years or 35 years, and then someone finally decided to make a movie. But the other thing is, is it just me, or does this first one look like a cartoon? I mean, the CGI stuff seems so animated, it bugs me, it bumps me. I don't like this trend. I mean, I love stunts, and I love it when they physically do the stunts. I loved it in T3 when the guy was driving the big truck down Auto Row, and the boom was out. It was just collapsing all the auto dealerships, and... you know, Schwarzenegger was hanging on to the side and everything. But these things seem very cartoonish
Maybe
to me.
Maybe if I look back, it wouldn't look the same. But the first one I remember was the first Superman with Christopher Reeve. I remember thinking, that guy can fly. There's no other way they can pull this off. Maybe if I look back now from what they've been able to accomplish, but I remember being able to totally suspend disbelief on that.
Plus, it was 1979, and you were higher than Superman.
Dude, I will tell you to this day.
He was staring at a snow globe thinking, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life,
when
man.
When they decided to go to hyperspeed the first time in Star Wars in 1977 on two hits, Purple Barrel. Oh, my God.
That was you being punched by your landlord.
Dude, it was the bitchinest thing I ever saw.
I know. We've come a long way, but not far enough. This right. thing looked like a cartoon to me. Every time he shot his web and slung it and went through the streets of Manhattan, I thought, this looks totally CGI'd to me. I'm bumped by it. It bothers me. And how do they spend $250 million and end up with this? Evidently, I'm the only person in America that was bumped by. Ozzy and Ray have a review. We'll also get into Ozzy vomiting and Ray whizzing. Nice. So, again, 3 hours in a limo on the way to San Diego on Thursday, Ray filling up beer bottle after beer bottle with his urine, and then on the way back, Ozzy filling up shopping bag after shopping bag with his vomit.
Nice. Tote bag.
Great trip. That's some use for my tote. We'll do the review of Spider-Man next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, go wherever a spider can. Spin a web, I mean inside. Catch a tea, you dignify. Move up, here comes the Spider-Man. He's strong, he's the butt. He's a dog, with a TV blood. Can you swing from the tree? Take a move over here. He's coming the Spider-Man.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep, it is a good song, I will say that. Did swing like Spidey did. Man, they used to write songs. I'm
familiar with that phrase.
Ah, Ozzy and Ray, good to see you guys. Been way,
good
way...
Good morning, America.
Way too long. So,
wow.
Before we get into a review of Spider-Man, let's review our ride to and from San Diego on Thursday.
Yeah, I want
to
hear about this stretch.
Well, we drank a few beers on the way into San Diego, so many that Ray actually filled up 3 beer bottles with urine on
nice.
The way
I'm not,
out.
I'm not a momentum killer. We got to go.
The refill
no
guy.
Over.
I understand.
But, Ray,
remember.
Were you self-conscious with Angie in the car with you?
She's like my little brother.
You know what? I don't
you
have a little
sex
brother.
Sex with your little brother?
I didn't whiz on him.
Almost happened.
Yeah, Ray did a nice job, and it's not easy going into those long necks, by the way. No Mickey's Big Mouth for Ray. He had to thread the needle.
You can't.
I'm
you
a good aim.
I'm not going to let you hang alone, Ray, because you've been a pal to me. You showed up and partied with me. I've had to go so many times and so bad when I used to drink, because I used to drink way more than my body could hold. So I pulled a blanket over me on an airplane one time and
really?
Peed in the air sickness bag, and they are not watertight, man.
Oh, really?
I just sat there and peed on myself in first class.
Kind of the Mile High Club.
Well, you know, they say
different type of
we're number 7 for takeoff, so it's going to be 25 minutes, and they won't let you out of your seat because you're on an active runway.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Dude, I've had a fifth of tequila, lady. Something's going to happen here.
Well, Ray,
if I haven't peed there, I haven't been there. That's the way I feel.
Nice.
Mark yeah. territory.
Yeah, like when I walk my dog, Miles, she has to stop her 8 feet, see where she was the last time. So Ray fills up the beer bottles on the way out. And then on the way back, as if it wasn't. And by the way, it was freezing. I'm sick, as some people can hear. And I was 2:30 in the morning. And Ozzy passes out immediately and starts the novelty snoring right next to me. That's right. But he does wake up. Why? Because he's got to heave. And the whole thing about when someone...
I missed this.
When someone announces they think they may have to heave, there's nothing you can do to talk them out of it. I don't even try. You know
right.
what I mean? Like when
no,
someone
when
goes, when someone yeah. goes, I think I'm going to split, you go, come on, buddy, hang out for another 10 minutes. And when somebody says I'm hungry, you could go, well, hold off until after the whatever. We'll eat when we, but when I think I may have to heave, there's no words, there's not enough dictionaries in the world that could compile the words that would get the person to stop heaving. As a matter of fact, you bring up heaving, they're going to heave. Your only shot is, if someone says, I think I'm going to heave, the only thing you can do verbally is go, hey, what's that over there?
Right.
You may buy yourself 8 seconds.
Ozzy, what happened?
You automatically say, turn away from the, and right. I don't care what is it, it's the car, your shoes.
I make a little circus in the limousine.
The circus.
Yeah. It's good for my body, you know, express, you know, the yeah. whole.
It's good for your body.
He woke up, he looked at me, he goes, where's the plastic?
I talked to Ray. Hey, Ray, what? Hey, I need a plastic bag, man. I need a plastic bag for what? I need to take a vomit, man. I need to take a vomit. You know, I have, you know, the plastic bag for the Doritos.
Right.
Yeah.
I empty the Dorito bag and put it in my face, you know. I start making. I remember I have Mr. Adam and my side.
And your side, said, on your side. We're against each other.
It's very funny.
Let me tell you how the selection for the bag went. First, Ray went, I'll go for that bag. No, that's filled with my own urine. Then I'll go with this bag. No, I defecated in that on the way in. Let's see. This is the head of a stripper. Ah, here's an empty bag. We can use this one to vomit in. So he vomits in the bag right next to me, and you think to yourself, thank Christ. It's over. Meanwhile, we're watching Jackass 2 all the way home where Steve-O was vomiting all the way. So I'm actually sitting next to Ozzy smelling him vomit while I'm watching Steve-O vomit into his fart fish tank helmet.
Or my smoking helmet.
But before things went south for Ozzy, he was being so affectionate at the show. I thought, Ozzy's really, grown to love me. Turns out he was wasted.
And Ozzy showed up at my show at the Morongo and I think tried to French kiss me.
Ozzy, give me the semi-retarded theory you have as to why you vomited that you gave me on Friday at my house. Why did you vomit?
What?
You told me Friday you thought someone gave you bad tequila.
Yeah. The people mix the tequila with cheaper tequila.
Cheaper tequila.
Yeah, they mix it and sell, for Patron.
It had nothing to do with the fifth of tequila that he drank.
Nothing to do with the 26 Patron, shots you did.
And they gave you something cheaper.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the people love me, say, I see one shot of tequila, bring me a shot of tequila. I drink almost 5 or 6,
Right.
And a lot of beer.
Yes.
The food, the people bring it to everybody, I select,
Yeah, but let me ask you something, Ozzy.
The riff,
Are you a goat at a petting zoo or are you a human being? You know what I mean? Like, if you go to the petting zoo, they're like, don't feed the animals. Don't give the animals candy. You can say no thank you.
Listen something. We have one slogan in Spanish.
Uh-oh.
Vale más tripa retorcida. Amistad perdida que tripa retorcida.
What does it mean?
I'm quite familiar.
Would you like to have
phrase?
Sex with my sister?
It's better, lose friend to take a damage in your stomach.
It's better to lose a friend.
Don't lose a friend and damage your stomach.
It's better to do damage to your stomach wall lining than to lose a friend.
Right? In other words, when somebody buys you a shot, you should drink it.
That's how Menudo was invented, by the way.
Right.
They didn't want to lose a friend. Listen, Ozzy, I know what it's like. Here's what it is. When you're poor and booze is expensive and somebody offers you a free sip of, a free bite of, a free shot of, a free cerveza, you just don't turn it down. You're like a camel. Your eyes get big as saucers and there's no way you're going to turn down something that costs
$5. Yeah, and it's rude. I mean, this is how Jews are, like with Kugel. If somebody offers it to you and you don't eat it, it's very rude.
Yeah, well, Ozzy didn't offend anybody except for his boss while he was vomiting into a trash bag.
Sorry.
On the way home twice. Then he went back to bed, and then 40 miles later, he woke up again. It was time to heave.
Oh. Yeah, it makes it twice.
Wait a minute. How about getting out of the limo when it was time to drive? What about that one?
Well, Ray, you drove him home. And by the way, remember when Ray and Ozzy didn't get along? And now it seems that they've been brought together by the show.
To the common tragedy of Ozzy vomiting in the limo. Shared experience.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, what happened? Ozzy wanted to drive home?
Yeah, he stumbles out of the car. He goes, listen, you follow me. You follow me. I go, I'm not going to follow you when you crash into a building. I go, get in the car. So we get in the car. We go all the way down the parking lot. He forgets his car keys. He forgets his house keys up in the car. We go back. He goes, all right, I'm okay now.
Want to drive? Yeah, did he drive home?
No way. I grab the keys. I go, get in the car. Sit down. Shut up.
Ozzy, how did you get back in the morning?
I take a cab. I'm coming here, in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning.
To get the car.
Now, listen, ladies.
I mean, it's not that you're not a catch.
Let me explain something, and I'll tell you why we get a buck to your 70 cents. There's not a female I've ever met in my life who would vomit all the way home from San Diego, get dropped off on their Mexican futon at 3 a.m., passed out, head whirling like a dervish, and then wake up at 6 a.m., go get their truck, and go to my house and start painting it. It just, they don't exist.
I wake up 5 o'clock. I take a shower and they'll come here.
Right. And by the way, it's not that he went to my house and didn't nap the entire time he was there. I'm sure he did. I'm sure I got every penny out of you, Ozzy. All right, we need to take a break. Ray, filler of bottles, Ozzy filler of bags.
Yeah.
Soon you will fill our hearts with the warm review of Spider-Man 3. You both saw it. We'll have the review. Number one at the box office, as a matter of fact, set the record, I believe, over the weekend.
Yeah, $148 million. It's the biggest opening weekend.
Don't tip your hand, Ray. Don't tip it, Ray. Take a quick break. Be back with the review next.
Hi, this is Special Ed from Grand Gangers, and you're listening to Adam Carolla Show. Yay! I like Adam. Yay!
Well, we're here with Ozzy and Ray, two guys I've known for a combined 60 years or so.
Something like that.
Spider-Man number one at the box office, so much so that the number two movie was T.
It was Disturbia. Now, just to put it in perspective for you, the number one movie, Spider-Man, made $148 million. The number two movie, $5.7.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was almost twice as much. Now, don't ever correct me. Let's just move forward.
I don't.
I am very sad because I'm looking at an article here from the Life section of USA Today, and it just goes to show you that there's a nerdification going on of this country. I've said men are turning into women and women are turning into men. Spider-Man, this is top five opening weekends per screen of all time. Spider-Man, number one. X-Men, number two. Pirates of the Caribbean, number three. Spider-Man 2, number four. And Return of the Jedi. There was a time when guys saw movies like Bridge Over the River Kwai and The Dirty Dozen and Pepeon, movies about guys breaking out of prison or killing Nazis.
Television was called books.
When did it become okay for guys in their 30s and 40s to start arguing over who would win in a fight, Silver Surfer or Sandman? I mean, Jesus Christ, fellas, have some goddamn dignity.
They're not kidding either.
I know.
There's a comic book place by my house. My daughter's still into Japanese anime. And so I took her, and there was a room full of men approximately our age playing some kind of Yu-Gi-Oh game that I don't understand. And flipping out. And they were like, I activate my double monsters who take the power of your life force by two.
I know.
They were crazy about it.
Well, what was the audience like when you went over the weekend? Was it crowded? Was it nerdy?
Tons of MILFs.
Really?
Single dads, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. Bunch of kids, crying babies. I mean, everybody came.
Yeah,
like Tobey Maguire versus Topher Grace. That's the fight?
It's puss on puss. Come on there.
It's scary stuff.
And the Sandman.
That's not the same guy.
Doesn't
Thomas
sound like
Hayden
the world's
Church.
Yeah, the guy from Wings is playing a guy that you hope visits you every night so you can go to bed.
I have issue with Kristen Dunst. She's in the Billy Bush category of people I don't like for no reason.
Kristen, and here's the other thing, too. Like, let's just break the game film down here for Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire is the most soft-spoken sort of puss of a guy I've ever seen on camera. Yes, I'm sure he does a wonderful job, but he doesn't seem like Spider-Man at all. Kirsten Dunst, I'm not attracted to at all, and for no good reason. I can't figure it out.
She's not that hot. I don't know
that's
why I don't like her. She's got a hot body.
I don't dislike her, but she has nothing special. Every waitress I've ever had at every Denny's is hotter than she is.
She doesn't stir our soul, and then you mix Topher Grace in there and the guy from Sideways, and what do you have, $150
million? $148.
You have 2.5 hours, I'll tell you that.
All right, yes, and every movie's too long now, officially. So let's begin the review. We got a new opening, right?
Oswaldo and Ray.
Yeah.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
The movie Ray and I saw this weekend was Spider-Man 3.
As Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3 star Tobey Maguire. It's Peter Parker.
Right.
Spider-Man, Kristen Dunst is Mary Jane Watson, and James Franco is new Goblin, Harry Osborn.
He's the Goblin.
The Goblin, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The new one.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man 3 is a fantastic history. The one superhero we are is Peter Parker. One alien forces take a Peter body and transform into a new costume, Black Spider.
So he's hit by aliens?
No, yeah, there's an asteroid that lands that has some black ooze that turns everything evil.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Right.
We're back sponsors.
There's like 29 things going on in this thing.
Well, I tried that excuse on my wife one time. I didn't mean to do it with that girl. I just, there was this asteroid and this black stuff coming, and I just turned evil. She didn't go for it either. I didn't make $148 million that weekend.
Nope. You lost half your
money. That's occurred to me, man.
Cost you half of $5 million.
No excuse for domestic violence.
Right.
Oh.
The more you know.
Who paid for your domestic violence classes?
Myself, man. You don't pay me nothing.
Ray, you paid for his domestic violence classes?
Did you? Yes.
Oh, my God.
And what? Let's clarify.
You believe he paid for my domestic violence?
Ozzy, read your script.
All right.
You didn't actually hate your wife.
Just to clarify, Ozzy got a little bit drunk. Maybe someone had swapped out his tequila for cheaper tequila.
Right.
Could have happened again. Or maybe he did it to himself. But he got loaded, and the cops showed up, and he had a circular saw out in the hallway, and they tasered him, right?
He was angry at his wife for making too many calls back home to Nicaragua, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Well, she had it coming.
Of course.
I tell you, I'll beat the crap out of my wife. She picks up the phone. She knows it. Go ahead.
Yep.
But you had to take courses. Domestic violence classes?
Yeah, I take a lot.
Hey, how'd it go?
You learn to put the bag of oranges in it so it doesn't leave a bruise.
He has a PhD from domestic violence.
All right.
I have master.
Yes.
This is a weird country because if you get pulled over for drinking or you smack your old lady, whatever it is, we got a class for it, everybody.
We do.
Go sit down and have some blowhard explain to you something you don't want to hear about. Then when you've done three of them, you get to go home and beat the crap out of your wife, start drinking.
Unless, of course, you go to the blowhard school where they either teach you to be or not to be. Shakespeare, a blowhard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they call it public speaking, but what they do is teach you how to be a blowhard.
Well, I have not graduated, thankfully, from that school.
Oh, my God. It's dedicated. There's a statue
the 25
of you out front.
Year program.
How dare you?
There's a statue of you out front that we all have to salute on the way in.
On the way in. Aha.
And the way out.
Ozzy.
Yeah.
Review, baby.
The bad forces, they make him into a demon with vanity and love the personal ego.
A lot of ego.
And villain.
And what?
Villain.
Villain?
And bullion?
No, villain.
And villain?
Villain.
Villain.
Oh, venom.
Villain.
Venom or villain?
Villain.
Have we not gotten that BV thing straight out yet?
I say B. B.
Right.
I don't say B. I say B.
B.
Villain.
Villain.
That's right. You didn't say B. You said
B. And
his
name happens to be Villain. I mean Venom. You got me going.
All right.
Here is a clip of Spider-Man confronting Sandman. Audio, Brian, please.
Sandman.
Flint Marko.
What do you want from me?
Remember Ben Parker? The old man you shot down in cold blood?
What does it matter to you anyway?
The thing that's weird about Sandman is half the time he punches stuff and his hand just goes through it because it's made of sand, and then the other times he picks stuff up and throws it, right?
It connects, yeah, knocks it halfway across the
world.
How
does that work?
I don't know. You're like, I have to ask Stan Lee.
Are you really going to question this?
All right. If I were Sandman, I would just hop in your crotch at the beach and chafe you all the way home.
Would have been a better movie.
Right, you really didn't like it.
I couldn't wait to leave.
Long, too long, huh?
2.5 hours along. They could have cut it by 40 minutes.
Oz, keep rolling, baby.
To try to capture the Uncle Murder Sandman, Venom,
Uncle Murder Sandman,
and the Black Spider Young Forces, Mary Jane, he lie a cloud doll. She fall down and nothing happened in the body.
She's all right. Yeah, yeah. She's like a rag doll.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There were too many characters in this movie.
Too many characters,
yeah.
Yes.
I'll say Spider-Man 3 left this reviewer cold.
And that was us. We hope you did not end up too confused.
Plus, Ozzy's wearing my favorite shirt, which is the Eracism, and it has a pencil erasing the R for Eracism.
I gave him that shirt 17 years ago, by the way.
I'll tell you one thing.
God, why are you just getting
married? I gotta say something satisfying about our Latino brothers. You give them a T-shirt, they put it on right there. off goes the shirt they're wearing on. I bought my dad a sweater from like Old Navy for Christmas. I never seen him sport it one goddamn time. It's been 9 years. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
No, I saw him last Thursday. He was wearing that.
Oh, listen, I think I'm staring in the mirror sometimes. Let's see.
A lot of people don't know this, Ray, why you would see Adam's dad. You're open about this.
Yeah, yes. He's saving grace in my life, please.
I've been going to him
for 11 years.
As a therapist.
As my therapist.
Wow, that's amazing.
I was shocked
Dr.
by
Jim.
That.
Yeah. Look, hold on.
We were on a trial period, though, for about 2 months.
Ozzy's raising his hand. What do you need, Ozzy?
You know, your father saw Ray a lot.
Yeah.
Ray is a little cuckoo.
Thank you for that. Good stuff.
All right, so write that one
is
down.
Is that the clinical term?
Where's your Viking
that's
helmet,
exactly what says. What's up with PhDs, though? I was at this thing at, again, Enchiladas on Cinco de Mayo, and there are these three girls that are so toasted right up front by the band, and I'm just going to introduce the band, but they're so loud, just these three out of 5,000, that they get my attention enough that I decide to deal with them. I've got the microphone. I'm going to make fun of the really drunk chicks.
Right.
So I go, hi, what's your name? She goes, Sandy. And I said, and what do you do? Because that's your opening line. And then from there you go. And she goes, we're all psychotherapists. And she wasn't kidding. All three of those wasted chicks were psychotherapists.
Well, the
I wanted to go see them.
As they say, the contractor's house is always the worst on the block.
Yes,
so you can do the shrink math.
Shoes. But Ray says
that's your pop.
Hold on a second, everybody. We're running woefully late. I can't even begin to broach this whole part with my dad and Ray. But I will next time Ray comes in here. It's just we have to bring it up a little earlier in the segment. All right, mental note. I'll explain to you guys how that works. But Joel McHale, everybody, from the Soup, E-Soup, he's brought his clips. He's here. He's loaded for bear. We'll see him next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV Talk.
A show that has had its fair share of guest stars, including one Danny Bonaducci, who we all know could seriously use some mouthwash.
From E's the Soup, Joel McHale.
The wind van is going to also be a noose around the nuts.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
The nut!
Here's the thing about Joel McHale. If you got a problem with Joel McHale, you're an a-hole.
I agree with you.
They're guys you talk to and they bring up somebody's name, even guys you might like, and they go like, I got a problem with that guy. And you go, yeah, I'm friends with him, but I could see it. But if you got a problem with Joel McHale, we got a problem because you are an a-hole.
Now, that's interesting because I agree with you halfway. Because when I say we've got a problem, I mean it's going to be a problem. You know, if you touch my sister, you and I are going to have a problem. I don't feel that way about Joel.
You know, if I touched your sister?
No, you can have my sister. That's cool. I like you.
Thank you.
And I like my sister, so it's a compliment.
Thank you.
But if somebody had a problem with McHale, I would just think they were stupid.
Maybe that's
it. You know, I wouldn't look at him and go, oh, okay, that's it. That's my best friend. You and I have a big problem. I just think, you're an idiot. Why would you have a problem with that guy? He's the nicest guy in the world.
Either way, we couldn't hang. That's what I do, actually, when I meet new friends. I go, what do you think of Joel McHale? And they go, who? And I go, Joel McHale from The Soup. And they go, what? And I go, Joel McHale for me. And they go, where? And I go, forget it. Let's keep moving, dude.
Your story totally got derailed by just the person trying to figure out who I was.
Who's talking? Joel McHale from The Soup, everyone, on E! Yes.
I start with Ryan C. I go, do you know Ryan Seacrest? And they go, yes. Okay. He does a news show.
Network.
And they go, wait a minute. And I go, yes, it's on E! And they go, I've heard of it. And then through The Simple Life and The Girls Next Door, they're able to figure out that The Soup is on.
And then they think your house barks.
Yep. And then, and then, why aren't you dressed all gothy? And then I have to explain that. It's great.
Dude, are you gay?
House Sparks, is he straight or gay? I know he was on Queer as Folk, but then he wasn't supposed to be gay, but then it seems like he's gay.
That would be the weird, if you got a show like that where you're being hammered by a dude every week, but you're dating women all the time.
I'm gay.
Right. It seems like you've done some crossover that you can't ever go back on.
Interesting.
Speaking of, Adam's accused you of wearing gay shoes.
Did you even notice my shoes this week?
Oh, he's wearing the Green Goblin shoes.
These are suede with green mesh going down
woven
the sides.
Through.
Woven.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, I have pants, black pants, that have white lace going up the leg to about the knee. and then kind of netting as pockets, and they're not as gay as those shoes.
Yeah. He wears them with his Hello Kitty panties.
Danny, you and I should go walk around Highland and Santa Monica dressed to the night.
I think we'd make some dough.
Joe, just because people give you, and same with Ozzy and the tequila, just because people give it to you doesn't mean you have to imbibe it.
See, this is where I was raised, that anything free, you're winning.
All right.
It's nothing to do with the actual thing. You're winning. You're in the W column.
All right.
Okay. Spider-Man came out this weekend.
Yes, it did.
And people are excited about it.
Sure.
Almost as excited as this montage of clips of the cast from last week.
Well, to be honest, it's not really the type of genre that I'm immediately attracted to.
I was in the first two movies as Harry Osborn, and in this film, I'm the new Goblin.
No, I'm used to it. Yeah, I just, it's not my favorite thing in the world.
Right. Now it's a lot of fun being a part of them.
Yeah.
Because, you get enough of it. You know what I mean? One, two, it's like another one.
Yeah, I've said Toby, when I've seen him interviewed, seems trapped. He just seems like the real Peter Parker who just wants to do indie films, practice his craft, and move on with his life.
Caught in a web of cash.
Right.
That's right. He's got this superpower of making money at the box office.
Well, the problem with this business is there's a window that gets closed and never painted. It gets painted closed and never gets opened again. So everyone who's talking to him about Spider-Man 4 says, hey, baby doll, this is it. Right. You can pass on this, but it'll never come this way again. As a matter of fact, actors wait their entire career for this and never achieve it. Are you kidding me? You'll be looking back, you'll be 45 years old, and you'll be thinking, why didn't I just whatever? And just do it. Just cash a check. And I got to say, I'd probably do the same thing, but he just seems less than enthusiastic about it.
It's a double-edged sword, though, because there are the people that do take your advice, and they become the professor from Gilligan's Island who couldn't be more mad that he did it.
Right.
How can you say that ruined your life? You're the professor. Wherever you go, I'll bet you get meals comped all the time. I'll let people buy you drinks.
But at least the professor, those guys didn't get any residuals. Whereas Tobey Maguire's great, 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 great grandkids will still be making
money.
What
do you think, Toby?
Give me one good crackhead in that family and I'll throw a monkey wrench in your theory.
All right.
What do you think he pulled down for this? And I imagine he has a taste, right? Taste of the back end.
Oh, definitely. I think on two, he
taste for the back end.
He has a...
That was the beer commercial during Queer Sports.
Back end beer. Hey.
And now back end light.
You've been out the line. You've manned the business end of a glory hole for coming on to 12 hours. You worked up a man-sized thirst. Time to step out and crack a warm one.
Pitcher, catcher, doesn't matter.
Back end beer.
I like it. Yes, I'm good.
From the company that brought you the semen-flavored wine coolers, back end beer. Could there be a gayer drink than a semen-flavored wine cooler?
White Swallow, St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow.
He made $17 million on Spider-Man 2.
If he made $17 million for Spider-Man 2, it's got to be double that for Spider-Man 3.
I'll bet he made next to nothing and took most of the back door.
Back door.
Chaps are starting to chafe. It's time to unbuckle them and unwind with the coolest, most refreshing backdoor beer you can get your gay paws on.
After an anal bleaching, I like to.
That's all the rage these days.
Anything wrong?
Pop that gerbil out and enjoy the coldest backdoor beer. Okay. Please, it's not all that.
I think I'm going to get a Brazilian wax.
I'm Richard Gere.
From Bartles and Bartles.
You're Greco active. That doesn't mean you don't get parched.
Bartles and Reams.
Nice.
I'm telling you, I came out with a sports drink for gays the other day that I really thought I could make some money on. I don't know if I pitched this at all.
Okay, now the fun began.
No, hold on. Just dig this.
Would this be a tie into AIDS, Butler?
I've said not to talk about it on the air until I get a copy written.
ABC is picking
this
it up.
This is a sports drink.
ABC Family. I got a
pitch. Boy, this is going to be fun.
I'm going over to Nickelodeon, and then I'm going over to ABC Family to pitch H. Butler later on today, so I can't talk about it. But I don't want to jinx it.
Right.
The point is there is a sports drink for everything now. There's an energy drink for everything. It used to be pretty much there was Pepsi and Gatorade and Coke and water, and that was about it. Now there's the shelves are lined with everything.
Now there's a monster.
And I'm going on my shoe.
Yeah,
as I've always said, they make a shoe for indoor volleyball, and then they make a shoe for basketball, both played on the same court. You see what I'm saying? If they're smart enough to sell a shoe for every single sport, how about a drink for the gays? How about the nutrients it takes to be gay? You know what I mean? I mean, they have vitamins for women.
Right. And gays work out more.
They work out
than
more.
Anybody.
They lose more fluid.
They look
than the straight guys do. Whatever the thing is, I haven't worked out the science.
They make more money than everyone, so they're working. Okay.
They drive in convertibles. They're exposed to more wind and sun. You know, whatever
That's
it is.
It.
I haven't worked it all out, but I'm just saying a gay line of sports drink. You've just taken a me day. Now it's time to head down to your life partner to cool off with the best refreshment a game. Yeah, I don't. Hold on.
So what's
Gatorade? Oh, wait. No, hold on. Gator drink.
And for those of you on both sides of the fence, try Bi Fuel.
Try Bi.
I don't know. You know, I say that you kind of appropriate the black power.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
You appropriate the black power symbol and just call it fist. and just say you're man enough for this. This is your drink.
Step up to the man. Okay. All right, where were we?
I had a
I'm just
sugar-free fist earlier.
This segment sponsored by GLAD.
A gay sports drink. Why not?
I think it's brilliant. They work out. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
You could tie it in.
Can we move forward?
Let's talk about the insider, Joel McHale.
By the way, I would drink it just to say I drank it. I was stopped from coming to work the other day. My wife said, all right, you've gone too far. Because Adam has made my pants stars. I was in Phoenix, and I'm doing radio shows, and all I'm doing is getting calls about what bedazzled pants I'll be wearing tonight.
Pants Star could be the name of my gay drink. Yeah.
What's it called?
Pants Star?
Pants Star. I like that.
So I've now, he's made them a
Bedazzled.
Star. So now I dress like I go further and further every day. And I was at Hot Topic, and I bought a t-shirt. Remember Sally from Night Before Christmas?
Yeah.
And it says, I dig pale, thin guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought it for me.
Right.
And I thought, I'm going to wear that with my bedazzled jeans and see who says what. And my wife and kid said, we'll be ashamed forever. We can't.
I didn't let you leave the house.
There was a bear trap at the front door just
no,
in case.
I just checked it. I just could tell that they meant it. That one's me being like, I'll wear whatever I want. And this one was me saying, I'm really gay and just not saying it out loud. So I chickened out.
That's
bedazzled. But you've made my bedazzled fans famous. That's all people care about. Now what I'm going to say, now what I'm going to do.
All right, Mr. Hold on. First, Gay Bill, to the lab, by the way. Let's hash this thing out after the show.
All right. I need my vitamin P, by the way.
Oh, is that what it is?
I
vitamin
see.
P. I like it.
Nice.
All right. Heat up the curling iron. We're going down to the lab. Hold on a second. We need to take a
break.
We're
on one.
I was so enthralled with my Gatorade.
That's a great idea, man.
All right, let's do a tease before we go into
all right.
the break.
You got the tease there.
That is
Rosie
making fun of the Asians.
Oh no, that is the son of Rod Stewart.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, Joel McHale here from the Soup on E. We'll take a quick break. We'll finish up these wonderful clips next on the Adam Carolla
we'll
Show.
One more.
Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 5 on Flix, don't watch Vice Versa. A father and son switch bodies after touching a magic artifact. Starring Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage. At 7 on the Outdoor Channel, be sure to miss Hank Parker's Outdoor Magazine. Fishing tips from experts. And at 8 on VH1 Classic, definitely don't watch The David Cassidy Story, a TV movie about the sudden rise to fame of Partridge Family star David Cassidy. That's what not to watch. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, something to watch, Joel McHale on the Soup on E.
Sponsored by Back End Beer.
All right.
Okay.
What do we got?
Well, this is from The Insider, and I'm just going to play it, and then you'll figure out what they're promoing, but it shows how far they've fallen. Go ahead.
Daniel lifeless, Anna frantic, more from the haunting hospital room scene just filmed as the ET Insider coverage continues.
Lost sequins and fat suits.
So,
it's got range in O'Brien. I'll give him that.
Sequins and fat suits, but they came out of the Anna Nicole Smith story is almost dead, so now they are covering the TV movies.
Right.
And they still are heartless in their transitions, even on the TV movies. It's great.
Right. They get fat actresses, and then they say they put on weight for the movie, except for they were carrying around the extra 60 pounds before their agent called.
Yeah.
So they had an inkling they were going to do this movie when they started overeating 2 years ago.
It looks like Martin Lawrence.
Right.
All right, now listen to this on The Insider. Mm. Do six.
Now, this just in.
Who just called Christie Brinkley's daughter ugly?
Everybody.
That's mean. She's not ugly.
No, she looks
She's
like Teresa.
No, wait a second.
What?
Now, if you ignore it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you go, that's not true, she's pretty.
I'm not saying she's pretty, but
journalist,
she's not ugly.
Aren't you lying?
She is not an ugly child.
I just can't believe it's a story.
Well,
she's a great big Christy. I'm with you on that part.
Not fat.
Christy Brinkley is like 53 and still piping
high.
And she's not Christy Brinkley, but compared to your average person, she's attractive.
Right. It's just your dad is Einstein and you have an average IQ.
Right.
That's the story.
Yes. It pales in comparison.
No.
And that's
if your dad's a blacksmith and you have an average IQ, then who cares?
Right.
No. No. It's not. You're not right. It's your dad is Einstein and you're Forrest Gump.
Really?
Yes.
You know, here's why I beg to differ. And I thought that, too, because it really is.
I live in New York, right? Otherwise, I'm being mean to a kid. All right.
She's old enough. She's on her own.
She's like 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I said old enough.
You know, when...
not for this country.
Her name's Alexa.
When you look at Billy
Statutory
Joel.
Statutory rape beer.
Available in Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, and...
You've just humped your way to a junior high. Now you've worked up a man-sized thirst.
Are you just out of high school or 4 or 5 years out of high school?
You just star in your own episode to catch a predator. Now it's time to sit down and crack a cold one. No, here's the thing. She has a cute body. She has a little bit of the Billy Joel eye problem, but a cute body. And her dad's Billy Joel, and her mom is Christie Brinkley. You'd hop on that heartbeat just to go home with her.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, okay. But I do it just to say the story, though.
Yeah.
I just to tell the story. Because you look at Billy Joel, and you think, oh, ex-boxer. And you look at Christie Brinkley, and you think, oh, what a babe. And you look at the daughter, and you think, oh, ex-boxer.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you pull a picture of her?
Yeah.
Danny, what would you do if people...
Yeah, I showed it to Joel. I think she's cute. She's got dimples.
She's all right.
Adam, this is radio.
Yeah.
She's all right. You know what? In those glamour shots, I would if that's what she looks like, I would have to resend a fair amount of that.
Honesty is such a lonely word.
Okay.
Oh. I would have to resend a lot of that comment if she looks like
that.
All right. Joel. Hey, Screech is back from porn.
Yes.
He's on Celebrity Fit Club. And he's a horrible person.
Yeah, yes.
If Kimberly drowned, I wouldn't lose any sleep tonight. People think that way about people all the time. She just happens to be that bag for me. Brat is gangsta. I'm gangsta. Cletus can't even go into a store and shop. These people are in the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he challenged me to a fight one time.
Oh, you should have beat him, man.
Is that guy a jerk?
A total jerk.
I've heard this.
A total ass. And he's a black belt in karate, and he's like 6'4" or something. Now he's fat. If you guys from the Celebrity Fit Club are still shooting the show, I think I'd like to offer my services as part of the fitness training.
Right.
I'd like to come on your show and just kick his friggin' ass. So, you know, it'll shake him up.
What's wrong with him?
He's
a jerk.
Clunk ass bitch. That's what's wrong with him.
You know, who can sponsor the fight?
Bifuel.
For those hermaphrodites out there with both sets.
Yes, because the
we were born with ambiguous genitalia. Now it's time to sidle up to the bar.
No, I got it, man. We'll make a bet, something like deliverance from the winner. So we'll call it actually Screech. We'll just call whoever Screech like a pig.
You'll enter the ring.
You just spent the whole day tucking your junk between your legs and dancing in front of a full length mirror. Now it's time to enter the coldest refreshment you're gonna find.
He hates his fans, which makes me crazy. If you call him Screech, he'll flip out at you for an hour, yet he goes out of his way to be recognized. And he just, that's what I hate most about him. He hates the people that pay his rent.
You know, most people are effed up enough in this country. Can you imagine what happens when you start pulling that kind of paycheck down when you're 12? You do that until you're 19 or 20, and then all of a sudden you disappear. I mean, your
Adam,
head would be
strapped. I can imagine that, Adam.
Would be strapped. Like, do you know anyone?
I've heard of stories like that. I've heard of, say, being so famous, you'd, I don't know, sell out Dodger Stadium four nights in a row and then, you know, be homeless. It's weird, and it apparently can make you a complete dick or a perfectly nice guy.
Washed up child celebrity star. You spent the day airbasing a guitar in a crushed velvet suit standing behind Ruben Kincaid. Now it's time to hit
one of the nicest
What happened
men in the world.
Energy drink?
You know?
No, actually,
and what happened to Screech? I'm one of the nicest people I know. I mean, I'll kill you if you bug me,
right.
But if you don't bug me, I'll buy you dinner and we'll have a lovely dance. Screech is an ass all the time.
All right.
Well, maybe you can end up at Adam at your facility has-been house.
Yes.
Came up with last week.
Thank you. Full you ideas.
Know, I think I sold that to VH1. I might owe you some money.
All right, Joe. What else?
So, Larry King had a clip show this week, and it was a little retrospective, and I thought he dusted off this awesome piece of tape with Brando.
I designed the lever solutions in Spain.
Before the show was over, the Songbirds were in a lip lock. The Kiss became a King classic.
Goodbye.
I've kissed my brother on the cheek, and I've had friends hug me, but he's the only man to ever kiss me on the lips, and I can't stop thinking about him.
Now it's time to turn off the mic, pull up the chaps, and head for the cold, bloated celebrity lip lock fail. All right, I'm out of here.
Beast throttle.
What an interesting thing is, I've also heard of one celebrity, a B-list celebrity, although talking to another B-list celebrity on television. And giving that B-list celebrity a huge kiss right on the mouth. I've heard of that happening, too.
Who'd you kiss?
Ladies and gentlemen, right here.
Right on the mouth.
Who's that?
I kissed Joel right on the
Joel,
friggin' mouth.
It's Joel.
I bent him over like I was dipping him.
I come in every week.
I bent him over like I was dipping him, but it was the only way to reach his mouth.
Did he have soft lips?
Yes, he does. He's a good kisser.
Oh, thank you.
I did it as a joke, and then I thought,
you have
I love
no
this
idea
man.
How disappointed my mother-in-law is by that. And every time we bring it back as a clip, she's like, oh, it is physical pain.
Such distrust in me.
Like a back spasm.
I would not be surprised at all if people insisted you go to a doctor immediately.
Well,
you couldn't catch anything.
I did. There was I rinsed with bleach, you know, and it makes you, it
he
burns.
Did a Purell yeah. beer bomb.
Yeah, that's why your breath smells like
Purell beer.
I never thought I'd see this, but Danny's actually turning red.
Wait a minute, he was red.
It was sweet.
Red
we looked into each other's eye. It was a night. It was a great
I just
moment.
Threw up in
I
my
was
mouth.
Gushing blood from my hand to my head because he kept smashing me in the face.
That was
with
after
boards.
I hit him on the head with
blood. And I couldn't think of another way out. And he had another board in his hand. I said, maybe if I kiss him, he'll stop hitting me.
So you didn't know it was coming?
I didn't realize the velocity or the duration
or
that it
passion.
Was.
Passion.
Yes.
Gang.
Okay, let's move on quickly. All right, on Good Morning America, they had some video of a bear that was loose, and listen to the commitment of the newsreader.
As he or she did a little pool hopping in the backyard, that's getting a little, you know, a little hot there, wanted to take it easy, hung around, jumped over the fence, walked around the neighborhood, and was enjoying itself. We're just showing it to you because it's a bear running in the neighborhood. That's the news at 7:06.
I wish if news was delivered like that, on like a story that was no big deal, that would be great.
Yeah, the problem is they don't know how to do the they don't have a dimmer switch.
No,
you get the same intensity with some Anna Nicole's bra was found as you do with the shooting over in Texas
Virginia
Tech. Yeah, we're right, we do need sort of a dimmer meter on these guys.
All right, so now we're going to get to Sean Stewart, who is quickly becoming a clip machine for the soup. And Rod has done a great job of raising him. He is at a dinner with some people who are from India.
You know how Japanese people talk really fast?
I wonder what happened. Got four Japanese people, gave them an eight ball, and see how fast they can talk then. Because if I want to go to India, I'll just go to Palm Springs and sit in the desert with a camel.
India's not desert.
Wait, I thought the desert was like, the India was like one big desert.
No. No.
Well, you guys look the same anyway.
Charmer.
Yeah, this is why you can't hit the road when your kid comes out.
Yeah. Or marry 12 models by the time they're 15.
I wonder if Rod knows which hot blonde he's from.
Wow. You mean Sean?
It's like a roulette, that game.
Yes.
It's a dangerous game, too. First of all, I feel awkward. We just talked about a guy I'd like to punch in the face, and now we're talking about a guy I did kick in the face.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. But he came in here, and he was friendly.
He was friendly about it. He copped to the kicking the guy on the ground and then kind of hemmed and hawed about getting knocked out. But out in the hallway, he was pretty friendly about it. We've seen each other a bunch of times, but that's a bad apple, that kid.
He's a producer for that show. And he allows himself to be just every... I mean, I guess it's just...
You just get the title, dude. I didn't have anything to do with Breaking Bonaducci except being drunk. And they gave me executive producer credit.
Oh, all right.
Right. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I even produced those children. They look something like
me. Well, you produced the vodka and the skateboard.
I didn't produce them, they'd have gone and gotten them.
Okay.
Well, what else you got?
Let's do this top... You know what? Let's just skip right to the last clip. This is your favorite person, Adam.
I made a pee-pee, Mommy.
What the hell
was
that?
Tyra?
Yep.
She made a pee-pee?
Yep.
Where?
On a beach.
Is a panty in panties?
She went in the panties.
Wow.
I think she was in the water and she made a pee-pee.
Well, like I said, we parted ways when she dedicated an entire episode to retiring her Victoria's Secret angel wings.
When she lifted them into the rafters.
Goodbye, sweet wings. You've been good to me. I thought, wow, how much harder can you blow than this? Really, you're going to dedicate a one-hour show to you retiring as a model? And by the way,
she brought her family up.
How do you even retire as a model? You just go old and fat? I mean,
you refuse to walk.
Look, when you retire as a football player, it's because you can't run a 40-yard dash anymore. As a model, as long as you don't get fat and you don't look too old, you can just walk and turn around and come back.
I'm no longer going to purge.
I'm giving up.
I'm going to keep my meals down.
She tied her angel wings to fishing string and raised them up into the heavens.
Now, wouldn't it be great, though, if they went right next to Larry Bird's jersey?
Yes, up to the rafters in Boston, above the parquet.
Kiss my fat ass. Oh.
Boy, and I thought fat I was a cool machine.
Oh, go ahead.
I'll tell you, I got her in my pound-for-pound blowhard. Competition.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Like I said, normally blowhards are 55-year-old white guys who weigh 250 pounds and have a gin blossom, but she is pound for pound one of the greatest blowhards.
I'd like to see her and Dr. Phil go at it.
Wow.
Could you
blowhard on blowhard?
I'll tell him.
Action.
I'll tell him at 11 o'clock today.
You're going to see Dr. Phil?
Yeah.
When are you and Gretchen going to appear?
I have no. I don't know why.
What do you mean you're seeing him on the show, or you're having or they're consulting?
I don't know
about
why anybody cares this much, except that maybe Dr. Phil feels obligated, since we were just on the show talking about how we're the one couple that were going to survive the reality show curse, and a couple weeks later, Gretchen filed for divorce. So I don't know why he wants this so bad. The show's on hiatus. Mm-hmm. He's flying back. I'm talking to him. Then Gretchen's talking
to
him.
Danny, you ruined my prediction about your marriage.
No, he never said we were going to stay together. He was all right.
Will you live in one of my houses?
Let's get some hookers and some coke and go crazy.
Danny, you don't eat fondue in an outhouse. I don't know what that means, but that's just one of those films.
Makes a point. Right.
Makes
that's
a point. So weird. I do eat fondue. But
you're like a wall clock that no longer filters water.
Wow. I'm scared now because I don't know. You know, it's a big deal because he's doing Gretchen, so to speak. And then we go to the studio and there will be no audience because the show is shut down. Mm-hmm. He just happens to think this is important and timely. And
are they doing a show?
Yeah, but with no audience, no nothing. A skeleton crew.
And it's just a show just about you guys.
It's like Dr. Phil Unplugged?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
A very special episode.
Yeah. I guess he's mad that we went on saying we'll be good, and then we broke up, that she divorced me.
Are you going to wear that outfit?
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you right now, save a lot of time. I'm going to weep like a bitch and say, please come home.
Really?
And she's going to say no.
Yeah. Wow. I will watch that then.
Yeah, I figured that's
you promised to cry.
Hey, Adam, who's sponsoring that show?
You're bone dry after weeping like a bitch in front of an 8-foot-tall bald Texan who uses outdated colloquialisms that nobody can make any sense of. Now it's time to head.
Nancy Boy Fuel.
Nancy Boy Fuel replenishes the salty tears that have swept down your cheeks after begging for your wife to come back.
Are your bedazzled jeans soaked?
Spurs on your cowboy boots rusty from your own tears. Or head for Weep Like a Bitch beer. All right, I'm hoarse now.
I didn't say I was going to cry. I said I was going to make people watch the show.
I'm going to watch it.
Joel,
thank you.
We weep when you leave.
Once again, thank you for promoting the soup. We have no, there's no promotion budget. So
bitter.
It.
I got to tell you something. Bitter. I've been thinking about
we
that.
We lose 100%.
Do uh-huh. we have any promotion money?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not aware of it.
I don't think we have any promotion money either. So no. at least you've got us.
All right. That's all great.
Joel McHale, everybody. The Soup, Fridays, 10 p.m. on E! We'll take a quick break. T?
Yes.
T's the news.
Well, the judge who sentenced Paris Hilton to 45 days in the slammer had a very interesting weekend. I'll tell you about that. We'll discuss the Hoff and the hamburger and the big fight over the weekend.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Definitely not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Kingman, Arizona. A 59-year-old man was sentenced to 5 months in jail when he shot at firefighters after they refused to get his cat out of a tree. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, T.
Yes.
You got the news loaded?
Sure do.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
As you may have heard already, Paris Hilton was sentenced to 45 days in jail on Friday. She is blaming her representative, Elliot Mintz, who's now been fired, for telling her it was okay to drive for work-related purposes after 30 days, which wasn't true. So she's saying she didn't know she wasn't supposed to drive. It wasn't her fault. Now, TMZ.com, which is an entertainment website, is claiming that the judge who sentenced Paris Hilton to 45 days went to church on Sunday, where he was recognized and given a standing ovation by parishioners for giving Paris Hilton 45-day sentence in jail. Now, her people are going to appeal the sentence, so she may not be serving any time, but she's expected to show up June 5th as of now.
He was recognized at church and given a standing ovation.
Yeah, the judge was recognized. The people were happy. Now, also being much discussed is the video of David Hasselhoff eating a hamburger. He's clearly intoxicated, and he's being filmed by his 16-year-old daughter, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
We played this earlier, but I'm not sure if you want to play it again.
No, I don't. I'm going to try to be consistent. I didn't want to play Alec Baldwin's tape, and now I don't want to play this one. Good. I just feel like we're just crossing some sort of line here, and each line we cross, it gets easier to cross the next one, and we're now showing tapes and playing tapes of underage people and their parents and personal whatevers, and I don't like where this is heading, and I know it's a weird... It's a weird thing because it seems like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. On one hand,
no, one was if I can interrupt for a second. One was a knee jerk reaction. You said I thought about that. I'm not playing it. The other one, you walk in here and it's Hasselhoff news and it's on. You didn't really have to. I'm not gonna say that you're two faced on this because I don't think you had time to think it out.
Well,
now that you've had time, you're saying you don't want to play it. I happen to think you're wrong both times. I'm not defending you on it.
Right.
But I'm defending the fact that you were not ambushed. That would be, you know, have malice involved. But that you were not prepared for this to give a decision.
Well, here's...
I think your decision's wrong, but right. I think you're not two-faced.
Here's what I want to say, not only about Alec Baldwin two-faced. Maybe I'm three-faced. I got a mouth shaped like a pyramid. It's this Patriot Act stuff. I always say, who cares? Go through the computer, listen to my cell phone conversations. You can hear me yelling at Ozzy when he's screwing up something in one of my houses. I don't care. I'm an open book. And if it stops one plane from going into one building, then so be it. And if people get inconvenienced, so be it. And if they're if their privacy gets invaded a little bit and we stop one terrorist act, so be it. So on one hand, I'm all about the Patriot Act. I'm all about go ahead and put cameras up and go ahead and film guys at ATMs robbing old ladies and then we'll catch the guy. But I don't want the personal stuff dragged out. Look, if we can stop a terrorist act or we can stop a bank robbery or a murder, let's view the tape. But if it's a personal act, if it's between a couple getting divorced or custody situation, I don't want to see that. And to me, that's the slippery slope part of the Patriot Act. It's the part not where we stop a terrorist. It's the part where we stop a family. You know what I mean? The stuff that's neither here nor there.
See, that's the thing. I don't see it as that at all. What I see it as, freedom of the press, but what makes this news? David Hasselhoff is not news. You know, what's-his-face's Alec Baldwin's call to his daughter is not news. So the freedom of the press, in my opinion, doesn't count. Curiosity and access counts. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I have access, or we have access. I would personally play it.
Well, the guy was, I'm just going to stay consistent and say no.
I think you should.
Only reason is everyone's heard it already.
But I'm going to stay consistent and say I it's not enough.
Here, I'll do a reenactment.
Yes, do a reenactment.
Well, you're going to have to play my daughter.
I'll play Taylor, your 16-year-old daughter.
All right.
Daddy, you said you'd stop drinking.
I want some more hamburger.
Daddy, please stop drinking.
Hey, someone's looking good. Have you been working out?
Daddy, you said you weren't going to...
Some Baywatch!
That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, right. That's what he has missed.
All right.
Now, I should say that Hasselhoff, the sort of conventional wisdom about this is that he asked his daughter, this is what people are saying, he asked his daughter to tape him when he was drunk so he would know what it was like and that would help him stop drinking, which is sort of ridiculous if you know anything about alcoholism.
Well, if you know anything about alcoholism, you do a million things before you stop. I felt so ridiculous when I opened the big book of alcoholism and it says, mm-hmm. We've tried many things to stop. And then there is a paragraph of the most outrageous things people have tried to do. And everyone that was in the room had tried them all and done something even stupider. Right. Getting videotaped, only walking to the liquor store, which is miles away out of my mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's blaming his estranged wife, Pamela Bach, and her attorneys for leaking the tape and saying that the kids did not, in fact, want the tape to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in D.C., by the way, there's been a tornado in Kansas.
Someone ought to interview Kit the car, see what his take is on this.
Well, how do you think he feels about all
this? He wouldn't let him drive. No way. And so you're not driving.
Do you think Kit has a breathalyzer?
Do you remember when they were going to do that?
What?
Put breathalyzers on your car?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, if I can get a certain brand of woman to blow all sorts of things for $50, I can get somebody to blow my breathalyzer for me for $20.
By the dude, she's going to hook a breathalyzer up to his dork.
So it knows, you know,
the
it's
car
sober?
The car would know that it's drive. Okay. It wouldn't start.
Now on to a classier story. The D.C. madam that's been in the news, Deborah Jean Palfrey.
Yeah.
She went on ABC on 2020. Now, the ABC was going to give out the names of certain high-ranking officials in D.C. who had partaken of her services. But instead, ABC chickened out, did not name names. But Palfrey, the madam, did a little talking, and she explained what kind of girls she hired and how she wanted them to look.
I always just find it as the Ann Taylor look. I wanted to make sure that they had that certain look, that they could walk into the Hay Adams, for example, and not be questioned. These were not chic women. These are very nice women who just needed to make a few extra dollars.
The Ann Taylor look.
Yeah, everybody who's in prostitution, everyone's a stripper, is a student, and they're housewives, and they're teachers, and they're professional women. Really? I've not encountered too many of those in the strip clubs. Whenever someone talks about who the stripping is, it's always a full-time student, what have you. And you go in a strip club and you see the chick with the tracks who got stabbed by her boyfriend 26 times and is actually having a child while I'm getting a lap dance.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. When the water breaks.
Yeah.
Messy.
What I got to extra? You got a tip extra. You got to tip the kid.
My wife read this whole book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. I mean, right. It's the size of the Bible. It's huge. And this was my total advice. Everything I knew about being pregnant. I said, when your water breaks, don't touch the toaster. Right. That was my entire advice to the woman. She'd be just fine.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. When you Google Mm-hmm. Your name. You put your name into the search engine Google.
Mm-hmm.
It says, did you mean...
C-O-R?
Right.
O-L-L-A? Right.
Because it's so common.
Does it mean... Did I mean the misspelling of my name? It's
now,
great news for
if
me.
I put in Google...
Yes.
She invented. It will pop up, did you mean he invented?
Oh, really?
Because Google is sexist.
Sad but true. Wow.
So, in honor of that, in honor of female inventors, here are some items that were invented by women that you cannot live without.
Yeah.
Hot water heater, invented in 1917.
Oh, well, hold on. You screaming at your husband, I wish we could heat this water, is not you inventing a hot water heater.
That's how Ida Forbes did it back in 1917. Liquid paper, 1951, invented by Bessie Nesmith, who I believe was a...
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Ah, something important to some of us more than others, the syringe was invented in 1809.
Really?
Yeah, by a woman, Letitia Greer, the windshield wiper.
Right, but it took the men to say to fill it with medicine and stop stabbing yourself in the eyeball with it, filling it with lead.
Yes, now how about these important masculine inventions?
It took a real man to say, put enough stuff in it to make you look pretty to me.
Right.
And also a Kevlar was invented by a woman in 1966.
Wow. The windshield wiper.
Yeah, in 1903, Mary Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Google. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
I found out that one of the greatest black inventors ever, George Washington Carver, did not invent peanut butter.
He invented...
He came up with 900,000 things to do with peanut butter, but he didn't... with peanuts.
Right.
But he didn't come up with peanut butter.
No.
One of the Kellogg guys came up with that one, and I just would picture my conversation with him where he would go... I'd go, wow, you did 900,000 things with peanuts. I love that peanut butter. How'd you do that one? Huh?
That wasn't me.
No, you didn't do peanut butter.
No, I played a phonograph with a peanut.
But you didn't do peanut butter?
No, that was somebody else.
Wow. But not butter. After all those inventions, you didn't think of mashing it up?
For some reason, it just escaped me.
Excuse me, Mr. Carver. Is there a reason that you keep sliding in and out of a racist accident?
He was going to go with Asian, and then he thought that'd be too racist.
Get in trouble. All right, how dare you? We need to take ourselves a break. All the news I saw on CNN this morning has been pretty much about gas prices going up.
That and the hurricane.
And again... This is news. Gas going up, everybody.
Baby.
Slow news days on Monday.
Yeah,
every week.
I want to know what the plan is, because you not buying an SUV the week it goes up and then buying one the week it drops 3 cents doesn't seem like the plan. As we talked to John Stossel, this ethanol doesn't seem like it's the plan. What is the plan? I'll tell you my plan. You tell me yours. 866-901-ADAM. How do we solve it? The energy crisis next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and now an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy. Today's topic, fuel conservation.
Do I think we should conserve fossil fuels with fuel-efficient cars? Of course. But it's a slippery slope. First, the government requires higher mileage cars. The next thing you know, everyone has to drive hybrid cars. Eventually, all cars will run on the blood of kidnapped, retarded children raised on government farms, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
That was Slippery Slope Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, big news, everyone. Gas is going up. First off, when you live in California, it's demoralizing because you watch CNN and they're like, the average gas price is skyrocketing to $2.79 a gallon. And you're like, I just paid $3.55.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're in California and we don't get the 93 octane. We get the 91. Oh, does this place suck? Here's the deal, everyone. First off, quickly, all gas is the same. It basically comes from the same place. Different places add little different additives to it.
I was running a system where you're going to cure the world's
problem. I am going to cure it, yeah. First, yeah, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been waiting for this moment for years. You've elected officials who have promised you answers and not delivered. Well, the time has arrived. The crisis is over. The man with the plan is behind the mic, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla.
Oh, man with a plan. I like that. If the plan is nap and masturbate, you're spot on, Bonaduce.
Don't wreck my intro. Save the world.
All right. First off, all gas is the same, so just buy the cheapest.
All right.
Number two thing you should know is buy the right octane for your car. You don't need to put super in your car if it doesn't need super. It doesn't run any better. Doesn't get any better mileage. It's no difference. If your car does not say put the 91 octane or put the high test stuff in it, don't bother. Buy the cheapest stuff your car will work on, and that's anything unless the dealer specifies something else. Number one. So you'll save yourself a few ducats there. But the plan is we have to get people off of fossil fuels, and nothing works like the wallet. That's it. Gas goes up. We beg. I mean, Ralph Nader and Al Gore beg everyone until they're blue in the face to quit driving around SUVs, and all we do is put bigger rims on them.
Right. That spin when you stop.
Right. Like the brothers need one more excuse for a cop to pull their gun. Anyway, the point is this is all we do, but you raise gas 30 cents and nobody buys SUVs anymore. I say buck it up to $10 a gallon. $10 a gallon and $7 out of every gallon will go to van pools, transportation, and buses. Now, there's two things that people say. What about the poor people? What about the poor people? Well, what about them? I'm going to pay for them to get to work and back. That's what about them. Because in California especially, you spend way too much money on insurance, on car payments, on gas. You can't buy a house, a lot of people. It's a choice between car payment, insurance payment, gas, or owning your own whatever. I am going to free you people up. I am going to pay a premium. I am going to pay $10 a gallon. All you folks will leave the freeway. I can happily drive to work at 90 miles an hour. Bottle of scotch between my legs and a bullhorn yelling, here comes the Ace Man, as I pile down the 10. It'll be like Omega Man. It'll be like when Chuck Heston stole that Mustang and Omega Man. That's what it'll be like for me driving to work, and I will pay the premium. Now, with the $7 off every gallon of gas, we will buy a van, and you will not have to go meet the van. The van will pick you up your house.
That's nice.
We will build subways. We will build light rails. It will get people out of their cars and in, because asking them to do it, hey, how about you guys carpool? No thanks. Hey, how about you buy yourself a hybrid instead of buying yourself a Denali? No thanks. Hey, how about no. Nothing. Wow. Answer's no. Raise it a couple of bucks, everyone gets out of their car. That's how it works. That's what the incentive is.
I like that idea, but let's see what some of our callers have to say.
To be honest with you, right. There's part of me that says I wish they would do that with cigarettes, raise them, because I can't quit.
You would pay $100 for a pack of cigarettes.
That's my problem, is that I could afford to still smoke a pack a day if they were $100. I could probably get away with it.
Don?
Yes?
What is going on? You're from Vegas. What's your solution?
Hemp seeds.
You can hear this every once in a while, and I'm all for it, but how does it work?
Well, it basically refines in the same way, and you could use it the same way as biodiesel, but it's such a good crop rotation with corn, and we grow so much extra of that crap that we can basically rotate the crops, grow a million hemp seeds, produce a billion gallons of biodiesel, and start using it extra. Now, it's not going to help emissions-wise, but it'll definitely get us off of foreign petroleum products, and you can use it for a lot more stuff than just
at least your people, we make rope, we can make sails, we can make everything, and then it's like why are we still that uptight about hemp?
I don't get it. I've actually thought about this for probably the last 10 years, and I'm only 26. But
when you grow a hemp plant, does it have buds on it? Can you smoke it? Or can you just grow industrial grade hemp?
When you grow marijuana specifically for the hemp, it carries almost no THC.
Yeah, just about the same as pinto beans.
Huh. Right.
Yeah.
Well, why don't... And I bet you've smoked pinto beans.
It's because it's the same species as cannabis, sativa, cannabis indica. It's the same species of
plant. This is amazing.
John, yeah, you know a lot about this.
Much to his folks' dismay. I guarantee it. But here's the thing. Are we so uptight about pot and hemp and all? It's 2007, everyone. Don't we have bigger... We have terrorism and crank. Do we really have to worry about weed and hemp and whatever?
No.
Yes, it's true. If somebody wanted to grow a field of hemp to make paper out of, everyone would be up in arms about it. Are we that uptight?
No.
What year
you know
is it?
You know what it is? It's not the hemp. Hemp makes perfect sense to any reasonable person you discuss it with. It's the people who like hemp that the people who don't like hemp hate.
Right.
Because you're all hippie freak and Birkenstock wearing losers. They don't care about the hemp. It doesn't get you high. Nobody's going to smoke it.
It's a sustainable crop more than corn, according to Don.
It is. You can also make fabric out of it.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
You dropped your beads, hippie.
Don, what do you do in Vegas?
Actually, drive forklifts and stock crap. It's a dead-end job.
Good times, buddy. You're overqualified.
See, that's who's rooting for hemp. That's the problem.
Well, someone says use algae as fuel.
Huh.
You probably smoke it out of the same bong, Don. Has been trying to get rid of George Bush. It just keeps going and going. All right, I got us going, and now we ran out of time. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap it up. Well, that's about that. Oh, Music Monday. What the hell happened to Music Monday? Well, we were loaded for bear, so we'll do Music Tuesdays. We'll do our hangover music, hungover from Music Monday. Frank Vincent, I would like to thank Sopranos, Donna Hogan, Trainwreck, Life and Death, Anna Cole Smith, Joe Scarborough, Monday through Thursday, MSNBC, Joel McHale, The Soup, of course, and our own Teresa Strasser.
Who?
On the TV water cooler tonight on the TV Guide channel, 8 o'clock. See how beautiful she is via the magic of TV. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Daddy, you said you weren't going to...
Zombie wash!